about.
You gotta put it in the
Praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I want to apologize to everybody for the wrong that I've done. I want to learn and grow from this. Inappropriate, hurtful language is totally, totally unacceptable.
Jewish comics can kid Jews. Hispanic comics, George Lopez kids Hispanics all the time. Gay comics kid the gay situation. It's okay, isn't it? But not okay when the non-N person uses it.
And now,
you're a gay racist.
Our feature presentation.
Gotta be careful about the non-N person, Lisa.
Yes, I will always be careful about the non-N person.
And let's also be careful about kidding the gay situation, too.
Yeah.
Larry King's the best. Hey, party people, welcoming into yet another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday, the 25th of June. Lisa.
Yes.
Kind of pretty close, baby.
Streets are closed.
What happened? What's going on?
Two police officers have been shot.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. And so Venice Boulevard is closed. I heard it was closed from Venice to La Brea. So I jumped on Pico. And it turns out Pico is also closed just a couple of blocks west of La Brea. So don't do that. Do Olympic or other streets that are north of Pico. And then you can get across.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Unfortunately, he has an alibi this morning. But you sound just like the Californians sketch on SNL right now.
I know. It'll take you too long.
Exactly.
But I feel like a bit of a dick because this cop was blocking one of the streets. And I pulled over and I was like, how do I get to Venice and Fairfax? And he said, I don't know. Two police officers were shot. And it didn't, like, at that moment, all I was focused on was how do I get where I need to go.
Right.
And I didn't react to that. And then as I was driving away, I thought, oh, God, he must think I'm, like, I should have said, oh, my God. I mean, it was in my head, but I was just so focused. And they must.
No, I totally understand. But, yeah, look, I watch enough TV to know that officer down is
yes.
the worst news for a police officer.
Yes.
Because, hey, it could have been me. Hey, it could be a friend of mine. Hey, is there somebody out there killing cops? I mean, there's a million things that go through your mind.
I know.
But, yeah, I'm sure he probably thought, well, that lady's got her priorities in order.
I know. I apologize, Mr. Policeman. I'm really, really sorry. And I'm really, really sorry.
That is – that's a tough situation. That's a tough way to start the day. And
yeah.
I'll tell you what else is tough. Is that if you had to meet it, I'm then forced to talk to Beer Mug.
I did notice you put on another song just to try to prevent that from
happening.
I was going
to keep playing them all day if I had to, Lisa. I didn't want, honestly, talk about Seventh Circle of Hell. Having to have a conversation with Beer Mug is like you get on a plane and there's a guy next to you who won't shut up and there's no one else to talk to. So you end up talking to him and you hate it and you hate yourself. That's what it would have been like talking to Mugs.
And you can't really put on headphones, which you already have headphones on.
I already have headphones on. So I was just terrified about having to talk to the boy. You know what I mean?
I totally understand. I apologize for even making that thought in your head.
I'm glad you made it. Hey, speaking of cops, I just want to say this one real quick because you will have forgotten about it tomorrow. But I remember when I told Dr. Drew a few years ago that I needed to get on some meth. Remember when I was on that kick that I wasn't getting enough done in my life, and if I could just get on some methamphetamines, mm-hmm. I could be so much more productive because people on meth can do anything, it seems like.
It's hard to argue that.
Yeah, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy in San Diego right in front of the Coronado Hotel who they tried to arrest yesterday. Had a felony warrant out for narcotics. The police approached him and they said, sir, come with us. His name is John Michael White. And instead of going toward the police officer, he went toward the water and was in the water swimming for 7 hours.
What?
This is a police standoff with a guy swimming along the coast. Swam 2.5 miles. They finally apprehended him at Silver Strand Beach. It was the craziest standoff ever. They had helicopters on him. They had police dogs on the sand. They had police officers running alongside where he was swimming because he wasn't far offshore. Tried to talk him into giving himself up. At one point, he stood up and threw seaweed balls at the cops. I mean, it just was, this sounds like the craziest thing ever. They finally got him at 5 o'clock this morning.
The guy should be in the Olympics.
Yes. Who can swim for 7 hours in the waters off California, by the
way? That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Iron Man, mister.
Yes. This is not, those are not the warmest waters in the world,
no,
right?
No, that is, we all need to be on math.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's just crazy that he was able to survive that. I mean, usually a guy's in the water for 7 hours, he dead, right?
I think so.
I would think so, too.
Wow.
Anyway, so he has been arrested, and hopefully they gave him a warm blanket. But that was just that's just a crazy, crazy story. So, all right, let's talk about today's excellent new Kevin Abid show.
I feel like I'm in a nightmare.
Well, you say that now because you haven't heard what we've got on the program today. Jerry Seinfeld has a phenomenal web series called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I love this show so much because I love to hear people talk about comedy and how it works and what their experiences have been and how they got started. And he covers all of that with his guests. He's got great guests on the show. Jerry Seinfeld knows everybody. And we're going to play some highlights from his latest episode that's up online now where he interviews David Letterman, a guy who does not do very many interviews.
Hardly any. I'm shocked he did it.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. You guys got to hear this. Also, you want to win tickets to go see The Lone Ranger? We got them for you. If you love Johnny Depp, you can see that movie ahead of when it opens. So we've got those for you in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. UFC legend Chuck Liddell will be on the program today. Petros Papadakis joins us, not only for his Bachelorette recap like he do on Tuesdays, but to talk about the most phenomenal Stanley Cup final ever, which finally came to a thrilling conclusion last night. And we'll talk about the new head coach for the Clippers and so much more with the P coming in later on today. Today's a holiday, Lisa. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but today is half Christmas. And this is the year that I plan to expand it and get it going nationwide and start to get some other people on board, a holiday that I've been celebrating for years.
You have? How have I never heard that you celebrate half Christmas?
Because you're not paying attention, because it's the most awesome day in the world, because today's half Christmas.
Why are we here?
Exactly. Thank you. That's where I'm headed, is eventually it's going to be another holiday.
I will join you.
And how about this? Nick Wallenda on the program today. We're going to catch up with Nick Wallenda, a man we had on a month ago when we felt for sure that it was one of his last interviews because he was the moron who was going to try to walk across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope. Well, that moron proved to be better than us because he did it over the weekend. 13 million people tuned in to watch that, by the way.
Wow. I hope he made a big paycheck.
Nick survived, and he will speak about it this morning on the Kevin Abid Show. In fact, we've got that for you next hour. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next after this on K-Rock. Seriously, Ralph, what would we have done if Lisa hadn't made it in today? We couldn't have handled that, right?
I would have gone out with a search party.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
That's just a body blow. Just put us in a room with mugs without Lisa, the moderator.
The smell would be overwhelming.
Yeah,
exactly.
Lisa's like the evergreen tree that you hang from the rearview mirror of your car, you know, when something's going on, something's in the back seat, you can't really find it.
This place would be intolerable without a woman's touch. That's all there is to it. All right, Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin Abid Show.
Congratulations, a belated congratulations to George Lucas, of course, best known as the genius behind the Star Wars franchise. He got married last weekend.
Has he? He's been married before, right?
Yes, he has. His new bride is named Melody Hobson. She is on the board of DreamWorks Animation, so they all keep it in the family, don't they? Those guys, Spielberg and Lucas and what have you. Yeah. She's also an expert in money and personal finance. I bet she is.
She should be.
Listen, George, you don't marry the woman after you make the $4 billion, okay? You just keep her around. Now you have to pay her $2 billion if you get divorced. What are you,
and she'll know if you're cheating,
right,
too.
Right, she's an expert.
Yes.
That's right.
Craziness. Sylvester Stallone was seen getting some new body art. He's all tatted up now. Did you know that?
No.
He has tattoos everywhere. Yeah.
Is it unusual, I wonder, for somebody in his 60s to still be getting tattoos?
Well, he is 66 years old, and he says that he uses them to cover up the scars on his body that he's had from years of injuries on the sets of all his action movies.
Oh. Hmm.
So I can't imagine how scarred up he looks. But he was in the same restaurant that I was with my family for Father's Day. with my dad and my wife and stuff. We all went out, and he was at the table next to us. And I'll tell you, 66 years old, you'd never know it. He still looks
really
great. Yeah. I mean, he looks a little rough, but he's in amazing
right.
shape.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And while we're talking about fatherhood, Kanye West, of course, and his girlfriend, porn star Kim Kardashian, famously named their child North. Now we know why. Here's the reasoning behind it. Sources tell TMZ.com that North is a metaphor for up. And that's where that child's life is going. And she's also the pinnacle of the relationship between Kanye and Kim, like the North Star.
What?
Well, now it makes so much more sense.
Okay, but even if... Look, I'm going to accept that.
Listen, I agree that everything is going to go south from here for those two, so I can see that.
Yes.
I understand that, but you don't need to name the baby North.
Even if you accept that that's the rationale behind the name, don't you come up with that and go, oh, that name would have been perfect for this baby if only my last name was at West, but now we can't use it.
Yeah, even then.
Right?
Even then, it's still a direction, not a name. Stop it.
Give the man some croissants, will you?
I'm glad that you are going to talk to Mr. Willenda.
Yes,
talk to Nick about his
to
achievement.
45 minutes from right now.
Because I would like you to address the fact that the second most tweeted about part of his achievement was his jeans.
Yes, that's going to be one of our questions, is how was that choice made?
Brooklyn Decker, for example, tweeted, why is he wearing jeans in all caps?
Mm-hmm.
Tons of other Twitterers chimed in on his skywalking wardrobe choice. One tweet called it a victory for courage, perseverance, and dad jeans.
Well, he looked like a guy you'd see in the parking lot of a Home Depot. I mean, he didn't look like a guy who was performing an athletic stunt.
Another Twitterer mentioned, Willenda's doing fine, but his jeans are looking very distressed. And a third called it the greatest athletic accomplishment while wearing blue jeans since Brett Favre's Wranglers commercials. So, for the record, apparently, these are Buffalo David Bitten's 6 jeans, and they sell for $99, and Nick says they're his favorite band of jeans, and they're very comfortable, just perfect for walking the wire. So, now you know.
And were you surprised that I made this point yesterday when we were talking about this on the air, Ralph, that he had no sponsors?
Yes, I was surprised.
I mean, you've got 13 million people watching, and you know what a crazy number that is in television these days.
But that was... That's after the fact. No one ever could have guessed 13 million people would watch a guy walking on
but
a wire.
But they knew several million would.
I don't think
there
so.
Was
I don't
some
think they knew that at all.
Well,
I think it was a crapshoot. I mean, there's no standard for the success of wire walking television.
Plus, well, when you throw in the jeans.
Well, that's true. That kind of takes away from...
I mean, the next one he does, obviously, he will have sponsors. But I don't think anyone knew that this was going to capture America's imagination.
He did Niagara Falls in primetime on ABC a few months ago.
And I don't remember anybody talking about it. This has gotten a lot more attention than that event
has. Yeah, absolutely. This has definitely been bigger. I couldn't believe that somebody, even one of the casinos or the betting sites or somebody, didn't step up and just slap a logo on his T-shirt. You know, just even if it was only a small audience, it would have been worth somebody taking advantage of that. It was just shocking to see a dude on television in the 21st century only wearing a Discovery Channel T-shirt. You know?
Well, Bean, here's your chance to get on the ground floor. Time for you to, you know, get clowntown.com or something, and you talk to Nick today and have him put it on his ass.
Crazy Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That is a little bit too much like sexy talk, isn't
Jesus
it?
Was his sponsor, man. That's who his sponsor is. You're my Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Yeah. And you'll be happy to know that Manchester, England is haunted with the spirit of an Egyptian god. So that's good news, right?
That's a story?
Yeah, that's a story. That's happening.
More to it?
The Manchester Museum in England has a statue inside of it, a statue that was made as an offering to the god Osiris, the Egyptian god of death. It was found in a mummy's tomb 80 years ago, and the statue has been encased at the museum ever since. Well, time-lapse photography is showing that the 4,000-year-old relic is slowly spinning around inside of its case.
Shut up.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You are all going to die tonight.
No one can explain how the statue is slowly rotating on its axis inside the case.
Hey, how's that going?
Yeah, how's that going indeed? Mummies!
Dude.
An Egyptologist who works for the museum says, the ancient Egyptian belief is if a mummy is destroyed, then the statuette acts as an alternate vessel for the spirit. Maybe that's what's causing the movement, said an Egyptologist. This is a scientist.
And then he said, I quit.
That's right. He ran. He made a, like an Egyptologist-sized hole in the wall as he ran out, like a cartoon. Yeah, no one can quite explain why the statue is spinning around. Some say it may be from foot traffic, people walking by, or vibrations from the street outside, cars driving by. But this Egyptologist points out the statue has been on those services ever since the museum had it. It's never moved before, but suddenly now it's spinning on its base.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Someone better call Brendan Fraser and have him get his six shooters. Because
seriously,
it's going down. Race war. Ancient Egyptians versus the Brits.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jimmy J.J. Walker is 66 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah.
66.
Dynamite. Ricky Gervais celebrates his 52nd birthday today. George Michael is 50. Actress Angela Kinsey from The Office is 42 years old. Mike Kroger of Nickelback turns 41. Linda Cardellini, who was so good this season on Mad Men. Almost unrecognizable, if you remember.
Wait,
her
which
from
one was
Freaks
she?
And Geeks Day.
She's
was
Sylvia.
Sylvia, the woman he was having the affair with in the apartment building.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. See, I told you she was almost unrecognizable.
She was.
She's 38, and her co-star from Freaks and Geeks back in the day, Busy Phillips, celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Biz.
Lisa, you're not watching this Jerry Seinfeld web series?
You know, I remember hearing about it last year, I guess, mm-hmm. and it sounded great. It's online, though, right?
Yes, it's online.
I have trouble remembering to go look at stuff like that.
Yeah, because there's no DVR for that. You actually have to go and find it and watch it live, I understand, but it's well worth it. The episodes are usually, 10 to 20 minutes long, depending on who the guest is. But he's had great guests. Jerry Seinfeld knows everybody. Alec Baldwin was on the show. Ricky Gervais, Larry David, Carl Reiner. I mean, he has really interesting comedic guests. And the new season started. Sarah Silverman was episode one. And by the way, the reason it's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffees is that's exactly what it is. Every episode, Jerry is driving a different car. He calls the person up, swings by their house, picks them up, and they go off and they have breakfast somewhere. And they film the conversation and then edit it down and put it up online. So it's very casual and it's very, super interesting to me to hear the stories that these people have to tell, particularly when you get a guy like David Letterman as your guest. I mean, let's face it, he's a guy who just doesn't do very many interviews. And the car that Jerry is driving, this is the first time this has happened, is not one of his classic cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a car that Letterman owns that was given to him by Paul Newman. It's a car, it's a regular car, it's a Volvo that has a race car engine in it.
Really?
Because, Paul Newman was into racing, right? So he had one of these made for David Letterman. They were friends. And that's what they start out talking about on their way to coffee. Jerry is driving the car.
This is a sensationally well-done car.
I'm not sure how well-done it is. I remember taking my father-in-law out in the car, and then it just quit. You ever been 10 miles from your house in a dead car with your father-in-law?
No.
That's a full day. I mean, he's a wonderful man, but that's a full day.
Are you in the mood for coffee?
Oh, I love coffee. Honest to God, I can't get enough of it.
I swear, every time I hear Dave, I always feel like he's doing a show.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like there's ever a time where Dave just talks like a normal person, and I think that's why I find him so entertaining, is he's always funny. I don't know how they get on the topic, but they do start talking about watching football.
Have you found football any harder to watch?
I think they should get rid of timeouts. I think they should get rid of punts. And also, I think they should be allowed to play as many guys at once as they'd like. If you got to play for 40 guys, send them in. Your team gets three successive first downs. They then have the option of running a play with two balls.
I feel like I'm in Gallagher's act now.
That is a little Gallagher. They do make fun of each other as comedians a lot on the show, too, which is funny. David Letterman is an older father, and it's always interesting. He does this on his show sometimes to talk about the time that he spends with his little son, Harry. What would it be like to have David Letterman as your dad, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know if that'd be good at all.
It seems to me like he's just a big kid, that it would be. He's endlessly entertained.
Yeah.
I think so. But anyway, he talks about a parenting question that he has for Jerry, who also has young children.
Over the winter, we built a little push car. So he goes down the driveway, loses control, and goes over like this. But it was all pretty minor. 2 hours later, his first baseball practice of the season. So now, he says, I can't go to baseball practice because I've hurt my hand.
Right.
So what do you do in that situation?
I support whatever position my wife takes. That's what I do.
Because she knows more about parenting than you?
Here's the answer. It doesn't matter what you do. But why have a fight with your wife?
But the worst part of that is, and maybe you don't experience this since you mentioned that you don't care, is that you feel guilty about your own behavior.
You know, I kind of look at my family now and I think, well, in 60 years, everyone's dead here. So...
Could I have the check, please?
Dave starts to think about that, by the way. He actually genuinely looks kind of shocked when Jerry says that everybody's going to be dead because Dave's a much older dad.
Right.
But then they come back and talk about it some more.
Good Lord. Oh, my God. It was just that I just don't like this over-consideration of every decision.
Well, that's me. If I had more than one, I'd feel a little more comfortable about the decisions I would make with either one.
You've used that excuse a number of times, and I don't really buy it. You're going to react to two the same as one. A kid is a kid.
Right. That's what I've heard. I agree that being an older parent, a lot of the real serious stuff, I'll be dead for.
What if he told you he wanted to be a comedian?
I don't think that'll come up. His stepfather, Scott, will deal with that. Scott will get him into a hedge fund.
I love that Dave is already planning ahead to when his wife remarries after he's dead. The reason I love this show is because it seems like it's just friends having a conversation. You just don't get a chance to kind of eavesdrop on celebrities talking about their personal lives very often. That's why I find it so fascinating, because obviously they're very comfortable together. All right, a couple more clips we're playing from Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. He's got David Letterman as his guest, and they start talking about the early years of stand-up, and Dave talks about a particularly disastrous gig.
And where did you go on in the very beginning?
Comedy Store.
First time on stage?
Yeah.
Did you get any laughs?
No.
Nothing?
No.
I remember being shocked by the quiet. Because I had watched a lot of comedians, and I thought, well, the audience seems to be kind of laughing anyway. And then when you go up there, you find out they're not laughing at all.
We had to go to a place in Denver called the Turn of the Century. And I was opening for Leslie Uggams.
Wow.
And you're supposed to do 45 minutes.
Leslie Uggams, by the way, was a popular nightclub entertainer and actress back in the 60s, I guess, when Dave was getting started.
To open.
Well, I had about 35.
Right.
And the guarantee is they were going to turn the house.
Right.
They didn't turn the house. So the second show, it's, hi, where are you from? And the guy says, I'm from Denver. And I said, oh, great, Denver. And I said, where are you from? Denver. And the guy says, look, we're all from Denver. You're in Denver. I said, thank you. Good night. And now, Leslie Uggams.
What a nightmare if you're a comedian. You've got a half an hour, and they say you're going to be playing it to a second show. And then it's the same audience. They don't turn the house, as he says. So now you've already told all your jokes. You're standing there in front of a crowd of people. What do you do?
That is the worst.
Panic. And finally, and I'll save this clip for the next time our friend Brad Williams comes in, they get to talking about little people.
Do you think there was a meeting of little people to decide, well, what should we be called? Do you think they sat around and said, look, we got to get rid of this midget thing. We need another term of our own choosing. Do you think such a meeting ever took place?
Yes, I believe that there was.
And what do you think some of the other...
I don't know.
Do you think fun size came into the conversation?
I knew we were working on material. Now, is this about how long you talk to your guests on
this
show?
No, this is longer.
Why is that?
I think we're getting on.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were still waiting for something good to happen.
Oh, no.
you gave up on that. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here indeed. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Check it out. It's online. We'll be right back on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Nick Walenda of the Flying Walenda family is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Beach Show. He's the man who captivated the nation by walking on that tightrope, that high wire, above the Little Colorado River near the Grand Canyon over the weekend. I can't believe we get a chance to catch up with him after the fact. I'm just glad he's alive to do this interview.
Yes.
Because we had him in last month and we were a little bit worried about him. So that's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, let's talk about a man named Gareth Moore. This guy's got stones. He arranges to meet a prostitute, Lisa, out of the back of what we would, you know, like the LA Weekly or one of those, but it's a publication in Britain where he lives. And he sees her picture, rings her up, says, hey, let's meet at the hotel. She shows up. He's not happy with the way she looks. She misrepresented herself as far as he's concerned. She's ugly. He doesn't want to pay. He's like, no, this isn't what I signed up for. You have misrepresented yourself. They get into a little bit of a scuffle. She ends up throwing some keys at him. She ends up leaving in a huff. What do you think he does? Well, he calls 911 to complain that the hooker that he lined up was not pretty enough.
That's brilliant. Was he on meth?
He was not on meth. Believe it or not, we do have some of the call. And listen to how friendly and conversational 911 is in England, or as they call it, 999. Here's an actual excerpt from the call.
Yeah, hello. Can I have the police, please?
Okay, yeah, what's happened, please?
Well, basically, I need police assistance.
No, you need to tell me what's going on first, because it sounds like there's more to it than that.
Here we go. Okay, then. I'll what's it called? I think she's calmed down now. She's got her knickers in a twist over something or another.
Well, what's happened then? You know, something's obviously happened.
What's happened is basically this woman, she's like basically advertising the newspaper for like, you know, like private services like massage and stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically when I've come here, she's like misdescribed herself and she's like misrepresented herself, yeah.
So this poor 999 operator is just rolling her eyes going, wait, is this really what's happening? What I think is happening is this guy's complaining because hooker is not attractive enough. Sure enough, it is.
So I've arranged a meeting with her, but beforehand I've asked for a description. I go, give me an honest description, otherwise when I get there I'm not going to use your services, which there's nothing against the law in that, you know what I mean? Yeah,
I know. Yeah,
basically she's misdescribed herself, misrepresented herself totally, yeah. Basically, she was angry, like, because obviously she thinks I owe her a living or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so she wants to get paid because she showed up for the date. He says, no, you're ugly. He calls 999. Believe it or not, Gareth Moore joins us on the phone right now to explain more about what happened that night. Mr. Moore, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No problem, right?
Yeah, so... anything more to the story? I mean, it seems kind of ballsy to call the police on you when you're doing something kind of illegal.
Well, I think what she was doing was more illegal, yeah? I mean, she you know, advertised herself to give these services.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, she misdescribes herself. And then, you know, when I'm face to face and I'm able to look at the merchandise, right?
Yeah.
Then, you know, I realize I'm not getting what I'm paying for and I just... You know, it's not like I took the services and didn't pay her, yeah?
Right.
I just, you know, chose not to utilize her services, and then she got all quite upset with me, yeah?
Well, as you said, she got her knickers in a twist, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, I understand. Look, it's buyer beware on those ads in the back of those free newspapers.
No,
I mean,
it's penis beware.
Because you're certainly aware that, of course, they're gonna use models in those photos, and that may not be the actual woman that is sent out.
Well, then they have to expect, like, I'm not going to pay her for the services if she's going to be misdescribing, misrepresenting herself.
Right, but what about calling the police? Aren't you attracting attention to yourself? You were soliciting a prostitute, which is against the law in your country.
Well, I didn't actually have sex with her for money. So I wasn't actually doing...
But you were going to.
But I didn't do it.
So right, but if she had been...
The law. But what she was doing, I think, in misrepresenting herself was, you know, was defrauding the public, yeah?
Yeah.
So I thought she needed to be reported.
Well, I don't think the police have any problem with her. It seems that you're the one who's getting the...
That's why I can't believe that all this is now coming down on me, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, 999 is a joke.
That's what I heard. Yeah, very popular song. How ugly was she, Gareth?
She was reminiscent of... Oh, I can't say that on the radio.
Okay.
Well, if you ever had an enema...
Oh, wow. What?
This would be where they would have to place the tube, is what her head looked like.
Oh
Gareth, I'm sure you're exaggerating.
No, she looked reminiscent of a sphincter, yeah?
Okay, all right. That's just unkind.
I don't need her services anymore because I found myself a new provider of services, yeah, like massage and things like that.
Oh, congratulations, I guess,
then. She's here any moment now. Hold on, I think that might be her now. Let me just go on.
Okay, wow, sounds like he's moving on up.
Yeah.
You don't look like you're at it all.
What happened? Come on. What are the chances?
A lot.
100%.
She looked like Margaret Cho.
The world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's us. About a month ago, we had Nick Willenda in studio. He was a fascinating guy, and we did everything we could to talk him out of his upcoming stud, but we were unable to do it. So he did it. He did it against her advice, and that's why he's the king of the high wire, because he was able to walk across a cable across the Grand Canyon on Sunday without a harness. Here's what it sounded like when he got to the other side.
Nick Willenda, ladies and gentlemen, has made history. He is the first human to ever cross the Grand Canyon on a wire. Nick, congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling, man?
Emotional.
We asked Nick at that time when he was in the studios at the Kevin Beach Show, we said, if you survive, will you please come back on? And he said yes, and true to his word, here's the man himself, Nick Willenda, back on the phone on the Kevin Beach Show. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
You have to be so happy. You must wake up and just kiss the ground every morning as a result of what happened on Sunday, right?
I do. That's right. I kiss the ground daily.
Nick, 13 million people tuned in to see you. Are you thinking at all about the millions of people around the world in 178 countries that are watching you when you're on the wire?
Well, you know, I am, absolutely. And 13 million was just in the U.S. The other numbers are about to come in, but we're estimating 50 million people watched it live around the world.
Oh,
but,
my God.
You know, we had 1.3 million tweets alone in that, I think during the 30 minutes, 22 minutes I was on the wire.
Insane.
So, yeah, it was outrageous. But
did it? I know that you've done a lot of preparation. Of course, your whole life has been preparation for whatever your latest event is. But did it? Did the conditions up there seem about what you expected, or were there some surprises?
There were plenty of surprises, but there always is. I try to train for the worst case, and during my training in my hometown of Sarasota, Florida, I trained with winds speeds of 91 miles per hour. However, that cable, we had some issues, some engineering issues. When they tensioned it, they knew that the cable would adjust due to heat. It would actually tension up when it was hotter throughout the day and then slack off. So it was about 3,000 to 5,000 pounds slack, more slack than we wanted it to be. We wanted it to be about 67,000 pounds. It was at 62. So combined with that and the winds that I was facing, at one point Jim Cantore told me there was a 49-mile-per-hour gust as I was out in the middle. So with all of that said, there were definitely some conditions that I was clearly prepared for, but definitely not comfortable at all.
Yeah, yeah. And you talked about a little bit about the rhythm of the cable. Can you explain that to our listeners about why you had to stop a couple times across the walk?
Yeah, so what happens while I'm walking on these cables is it will develop a rhythm. If I were to go to one end of the cable and pull down on it, per se, it would cause a wave, and that wave would go to the other end of the cable, and then it would come back at me. And as I walk, I build that rhythm into the cable. So it's important that I slow down and speed up. And there it got to the point where I had to kneel down and just stop. And I actually watched that video last night, and it scared the heck out of me. My mom has walked a wire her entire life, and she was watching. My father, of course, my wife, and they freaked out because that wire is not supposed to move the way it was as I knelt down.
Wow.
And really kind of gives me visions of my great-grandfather when he sat down on the wire and lost his life. The wire was moving that way under his feet. But again, you know, all's well that ends well, but clearly prepared for it. But there were definitely some very uncomfortable moments while I was out there. I'd planned to talk with Natalie Morales and Willie Geist as I was making that crossing, and unfortunately, because I had to stay so focused, I wasn't able to relax whatsoever.
You were going to do an interview?
That was the plan all along. And
Nick!
And about halfway across, I told my dad, you know what, I'm not talking to anyone but you. I need to focus on what I'm doing.
Tell me about your dad, because I would have been irritated to have the old man in my ear the whole walk, but it seemed to be some sort of comfort to you in that he was kind of giving you an outside perspective of how it was looking, right?
Well, it is somewhat of a comfort thing, and there was a point where I was irritated. If you watch the actual film, you can see where I say, Dad, I don't care how far along I am. I don't care.
Yeah,
how-
yeah, yeah. he was giving you the countdown. All right, 18 minutes on the wire, son.
Exactly. So, I mean, I got irritated just like you would have, but for the most part, it's just a calming voice, and he kind of tries to keep me calm and collective, and which is a good thing when you're doing what I do.
Yeah. This is the voice of Nick Willenda on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show. He's the king of the high wire. Undoubtedly, you saw him on Sunday as he walked across the Little Colorado River near the Grand Canyon, 1,500 feet up, about 1,500 feet across. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. What was the contingency plan, Nick, if you discussed this with Discovery in the event of worst case scenario, you fall and die? They were on a 10-second delay, I know, but
that's
how
correct.
Prepared were the anchors to then take over the coverage and describe what was going on the scene?
Well, they were very prepared. It was definitely something that they spent a lot of time planning because they had to.
It was
life or death out on the wire. I took a lot of convincing to get Discovery to allow me to do it without a tether. But I've trained my whole life to go down into that safety of that wire, and as that wire started swaying, that's what I did. I went lower, and I was closer, and I would have grabbed that wire if I had to. There was no point during that walk where I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to fall. But like I said, it was just uncomfortable. I was always prepared the entire time, and that's where training becomes so important.
Do you think they had an obituary package prepared and ready to air in the event of your death, Nick?
You know, I'm curious about that, to be honest. They might have. I think they would have almost had to be honest.
Sure, yeah.
But of course, they don't talk to me about that just out of respect. But
right, right. And I remember when you were in with us last month, and again, we thank you so much for following up and coming back on again. You told us that that was your contingency plan. No harness, no wire, but you were just going to grab the cable, and you were always confident that that was going to be your out if you needed it.
Yeah, that's right. I've trained my entire life to grab that wire if there's anything wrong. So I would go down to the safety of that wire and hold on and wait for help. I honestly, and I know it's hard for people to comprehend that don't do what we do, I wouldn't do it if I thought I was going to lose my life. And I guess no one really would if you think about it. But I've trained so hard to grab that wire. My wife wouldn't let me allow me to do it. My wife has never said, Nick, I don't want you to do it anymore. And I talked about that in the press conference afterwards. If her or my kids did, I would have to give up my passion because my family comes first. And so far it hasn't come to that. But if it does, I will end up having to move on to a different career.
Well, let's talk about your family for just a moment. I'm sure you have been made aware, Nick, that your wife has an international fan club. She is a beautiful and just a stunning and charming and articulate and seems like such a sweet woman. She's got fans all over the world. First of all, you're a very lucky man.
She does. Thank you very much. I'm very, very, very blessed. But she does. It was funny. It was one of the top 10 searches that night was Nick Willenda's hot wife.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? And secondly, how did you make the decision? And we were talking about this yesterday, that boxers generally do not allow their little kids in the arena to watch them fight in case daddy gets hurt. How sure. do you make the decision? Because some of your kids are sort of young. Is it perhaps
a 10, a 12, and a 15-year-old. You know, they have been around it their entire lives. I mean, from what I've been told, and I haven't seen the actual film yet, but they were on their cell phones texting the whole time.
Yes, I saw that. I was wondering about that, too.
All teenagers and young kids. But it's so normal to them. And again, they know how I prepare and how hard I prepare. You know, again, training 92-mile-an-hour winds, we know we wouldn't face anything, near that. 45, 55-mile-an-hour gust, tropical storm Andrea with 52-mile-an-hour gusts and a torrential downpour. It's all about preparation leading up to it. And, you know, that I think that kind of speaks to the confidence of what I do. You know, getting in a car is extremely dangerous, I think, especially when you're driving in.
Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah, we just lost him. He just dropped.
Oh, so we didn't even get to ask about the jeans.
Oh, that's the most important part.
I know. I don't know if they're going to try to get him back on or if that's just the end. Yeah, we wanted to talk to him about the man jeans.
We need to talk about the blue jeans.
Oh, that's too bad. Wow, that was super interesting to hear about that, wasn't it?
Yeah. A 49-mile-an-hour gust. That's stunning.
And I also, I mean, every time you're done, well, I mean, I guess it's just like in sports with athletes. I mean, you don't stop competing to win the Stanley Cup just because you won the Stanley Cup. You always want to go back and get that, you know, that thrill again. I wonder, at what point does he walk away and go, okay, I'm not going to top that. Like, this is as good as it gets. Like, right. what do you do to follow up something like this, you know?
I know he's got more things planned.
Yep,
I know he does. Yeah.
I know he does, but why? that's my question. All right, fascinating stuff. There he is, the king of the high wire, Nick Willenda on the Kevin DeVito Show on K-Rock. We'll be right back. Imagine Dragons on the way. Also, the Temper Tap, Cypress Hill, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and my new band, Nick Willenda's Hot Wife. I'm going to be debuting in the 7 o'clock hour as well. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Disgusting.
What?
Just saying.
What happened?
Your interview. You bury the lead. You don't even start with the jeans. You go right to death-defying acts, walking across wires, across Grand Canyon. Why don't you just focus on what's important?
And then apparently there was a power outage, a blackout at the hotel that he was staying at, and that's why we lost him, it turned out,
and
on the phone.
And that's why they teach you in journalism school, you don't bury the lead. You go for the important facts first.
I accept your score. Oh, believe me, that's all goodness. I cared about, too, but well, I just felt like there was some other stuff that needed to be covered. I know. I am a disappointment to myself and my profession.
You are no Barbara Walters, sir.
No, I'm not.
That's all I got to say. All right. Let's get on with the show business news. This is good news for everyone. Max McGinnis of The Wanted. Are you familiar with The Wanted?
Yeah, that's the band that's not One Direction.
They are a boy band, and they are apparently just heated rivals with their arch villains, One Direction. And Max McGinnis has announced that he would like to go fist to fist with One Direction. He wants the Wanted to fight One Direction.
They need to do that. It has to be a pay-per-view. That would be awesome.
He said he thinks a boxing match would be brilliant for TV and has no problem getting in the ring with One Direction to blow off some steam in a charity fundraiser. So the Wanted versus One Direction for charity, yes. Pay-per-view, yes. I say, why stop here? Why stop with boxing? I say, let's add some weapons. I say, give them a baseball bat with a large six-penny nail at the end of it. Give them a bike chain, you know, or a chainsaw, or a battle axe. Well, let's up the ante a little bit until one boy bander walks out of that cage, and that's it. Bang, 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 bang.
It would be awesome if we could eliminate one of them.
Or all of them.
Yeah. Christine, associate producer Christine, who apparently is down with all boy bands, says that the Wanted definitely wins. The One Direction is way sissier, she says.
Well, I'm glad we had that straightened out. Yeah, like,
who wins a race between Stephen Hawking and Larry Flint?
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. And Bieber, he fights in the girls' division, right?
That's right. Yeah, he takes on whoever's left. Brandi Passante, you know that name? She is the hottie from Storage Wars.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. She was in court last Friday. She was suing for $2.5 million against a guy who set up a fake porn video of her and put it on his website.
Yep. Wait, so she's not in it? Is it a lookalike?
Yeah, it's a lookalike. All right. And he puts the porn video up saying, oh, it's Brandy from Storage Wars. Give me some money and you can download it and see your favorite storage whore. Your storage war whore. And
yep.
The judge did rule in her favor on Friday, but saw no reason for millions of dollars in damages and gave her $750.
Well, it hardly seems worth her time in trouble, and it seems like that guy's going to make a lot more money than that off that video.
That's what I'm thinking. That doesn't seem like a fair decision.
Uh-uh.
Her legal fees are also covered for, and she's got 30 days to submit a renewed application for actual damages. But apparently the judge said, $2.5 million, I just don't see how you came to that value in terms of, I understand it did some damage to your personal reputation and everything, but $2.5 million worth, he didn't get the math, so he rejected her claim.
That is interesting. I mean, this is one of those cases, a lot of these lawsuits are pretty frivolous. This is a case where if they found somebody who looks a lot like her and put her in a situation that her fans would expect her to be in and claimed that it was her or insinuated it was her, I can see how there would be some misunderstanding that she had actually done the porn.
I do too. But I, like the judge, have a hard time finding $2.5 million worth of damage.
Didn't he have the option of just reducing it to like $500,000 or something?
It doesn't seem so, the way he said it. But, I mean, she obviously deserves something more than $750.
Yes,
but,
I think so, too.
But I know my penis is also suing that guy because I thought it was Brandy as well, and now my penis is very disappointed, and he seriously has had some
damage. I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah. Well, you can't. Hey! What is that? What is that? What happened there? Do we need another Taken movie?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Do we? Taken 3?
Yes,
we
absolutely
do. Who are
we
going to take now? You're out of people to take. There's nobody else to take. They took the daughter, they took the wife. Who else are you going to take?
For a guy who thinks he's pretty good at security, he doesn't protect his family very well.
Liam Neeson in talks to come back in his role as the retired CIA agent who uses his particular set of skills to get his family members back when people take them. So
good luck.
Now, what's interesting is, didn't Liam Neeson do everything short of bashing the second one, saying it was ridiculous that they were even making a second one, but he kind of had to because the first one made so much money, but now they're really, really done?
Yes.
Yes, and then the second one was even bigger.
Then the second one made a lot of money, and now he's like, well, it wasn't that bad. Maybe some. Maybe
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I don't know who you are either, Liam.
I don't know what you want.
You want more money.
If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have...
What's that?
Are a very particular set of skills.
Oh, yes.
The gravitas in his voice, by the way.
Yeah.
He's also got something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Right down here is what I'm saying.
That's
here.
What gives him the gravitas.
See what I'm pointing at over here? Right here.
Well, it's radio.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Well, not mine, but Liam's. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey!
Before I get to the birthdays, I saw the Lone Ranger last night.
What?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
you
right.
Did?
Yeah, that's who I am. I'm that guy. I'm that guy who sees that thing before you do. And I got to
wait. Hold on a second here, Ralph. That makes you better than us.
Much, much better.
Wow.
Than you. But I want to give away some tickets to some other people can see it too. And rather than just hand them out, which would be easy and just weak, how about we do a little contest in the next break? Why don't we do a little business and come back, and we'll do a little contest. You have to know, I'll give you this much, it's going to be a contest, and you have to know your sidekicks. Because Tonto, of course, to the Lone Ranger, is one of the world's most famous sidekicks. Lone Ranger and Tonto, one of the great partnerships in fiction. And
sure.
Tonto's a great sidekick. And I'll tell you something, Depp just crushes it in this role.
Oh, I'm excited.
And Armie Hammer literally becomes a movie star in front of your eyes. He is just such one of those good-looking, just completely at ease on the screen, charming, good actor. Is just boom. Is he just fully formed movie star right there on the screen.
Do we find out why Tonto's wearing a bird on his head?
Yes, you do.
Okay, good.
I'll give you that much. So let's do a little contest about famous sidekicks when we get back, okay?
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. If you know your sidekicks, call now and maybe you can get on the air and play our game for tickets to go see a special screening of The Lone Ranger. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jimmy J.J. Walker is 66 years old today. Actor Ricky Gervais is 52. Are you watching his new David Brent series on the web?
No.
I have not seen it yet.
David Brent teaches you guitar?
No.
Right.
It's just a series of guitar lessons with David Brent where he teaches
God.
You, and they're hilarious. George Michael's 50 years old today. Angela Kinsey, speaking of The Office, and David Brent, of course, was the British Office star. She starred in The American Office, 42 years old. Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 41. Linda Cardellini is 38. Her Freaks and Geeks co-star, Busy Phillips, is 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Go.
Is that Chuck Liddell in the other room?
Sure is.
Oh, we got to get him to take out beer mug for us.
Yes.
And that's the answer to our problems.
He's rocking a classic Batman t-shirt, too, today, by the way. So I think I have a new best friend. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Batman, speaking of superheroes, speaking of crime-fighting sidekicks, how about giving away some tickets for The Lone Ranger? How about that? Ralph, you've already seen the movie.
Yeah, that's me. Who has two thumbs and has seen The Lone Ranger? This guy.
Doesn't come out until Wednesday, July 3rd. We're giving away tickets to the K-Rock screening of The Lone Ranger on July the 1st at the AMC Century City with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. It's a game we like to call Famous Sidekicks.
Yes, we have your Lone Ranger ticks. Yes, the movie's going to be quite sick.
Oh, he's not even trying anymore. He's not even trying.
1-800-520-1067. Ralph, is it as simple as that? Just you'll ask a question, the answer will be a famous sidekick. If they get it, they get the tickets, right?
Yeah, this is, as I mentioned, Lone Ranger and Tonto, one of the famous pairings in pop culture. So what we've done is taken other pop culture teams, and you have to name the sidekick for the main guy. So
okay.
It would be too easy if I just said the main guy and then asked for his sidekick. So I'm going to give you clues about a particular sidekick, and you just have to tell me who it is. Okay?
So you say Kevin, they say B, and that's how this game works, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, let's try Aaron. He's on line one. He gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show as we give away tickets for the Lone Ranger K-Rex screening.
Aaron?
Hey, good morning, party people.
How are you, sir?
Hello.
Here's your question. This cartoon caveman often helps his best friend and neighbor with his harebrained get-rich-quick schemes. Who's the sidekick?
Oh, I know Captain Caveman, but...
No, this cartoon caveman has often helped his best friend and neighbor with his harebrained get-rich-quick schemes.
Ralph Garman, you're an intelligent guy, and I love you, man. Barney Rubble.
Barney Rubble, indeed, sir. Well done.
I did not think he was going to come up with that.
I didn't either.
Congratulations, you're going to see the Lone Ranger. Brenda is up next. She's on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Just that easy. You answer, you win. That's how easy it is. Brenda?
This is actually Brenda's husband, Mike. She had to jump in the shower.
Oh, okay.
Well, put Brenda on the phone if she's in the shower. That's fine. All right, Mike. Don't blow it for your wife, all right?
I'll try not to.
Hey, this guy is a physician in books, movies, and TV. He is the companion of fiction's greatest detective who often finds difficult answers to be elementary.
Watson.
Dr. Watson, absolutely. Dr. John Watson. Congratulations. You're going to see the Lone Ranger.
Okay.
Get in the shower with Brenda.
Yeah. go jump in the shower with Brenda. Exactly. Let's try Priscilla. She's up next. She's on line three. Or is it Priscilla's husband?
Good question.
Priscilla. Good morning.
Good morning, Priscilla. Here is your question, your famous sidekick. This science fiction co-pilot was born on the planet Kashyyyk, and it said it's best to let him win.
Oh, man. I don't know.
You don't know?
That's a tough one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Chewbacca. Han Solo sidekick. Yeah.
Thanks for playing, though. Thanks for listening.
You had to be a nerd to get that one.
Sorry. Let's try Brett, line four, giving away tickets for the Lone Ranger. Chuck Liddell joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Brett?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning,
sir. Speaking of Westerns, this real-life frontier dentist came in handy in a legendary gunfight and was both a Daisy and a Huckleberry.
Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday is right. Wyatt Earp's sidekick. Well done, sir.
Congratulations. Why a Daisy and a Huckleberry, Ralph? I don't get that.
Have you never seen Tombstone, sir? Have you never seen Tombstone, the movie Tombstone?
I actually haven't.
You rapist.
I'm a bad person,
you
I guess.
You are a horrible man.
All right, who's keeping track? How many tickets have we given away, you
We've
guys?
We've given three? Away three pairs so far. We have two more to give away.
All right, let's try Jacqueline. She's up next. She's on line five.
Jacqueline?
Yes?
Here's your question. As if being a mere sidekick wasn't demeaning enough, this Asian hero was also his boss's manservant and chauffeur.
Kato.
Kato is correct.
Our people are strong with the Force, aren't they?
Sidekick to the Green Hornet. So far,
wow.
Well done. Four pair of tickets we've given away so
no
far.
No kidding. All right, we got one more pair left. Let's see if Matt gets them. He's up next on line six.
All right, Matt. Played by Robert Redford in the movies, this sidekick was a legendary Old West outlaw and part of the hole-in-the-wall gang.
Ah, my Sundance Kid.
The Sundance Kid. That's right, sir. To Butch Cassidy, of course. Congratulations. You're going to see the Lone Ranger.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well done, sir.
Our listeners don't know who's on the Supreme Court, but man, can they name famous pop culture sidekicks.
They know their sidekicks.
Yes, may have your Lone Ranger ticks. Thanks a lot for playing. Famous sidekicks.
Kevin and me listener Omar writes in, that's what's up. Cypress Hill before noon. That does sound awesome. Rock superstar here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the man you heard singing along at the end of that song is Chuck Liddell, who joins us in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, UFC Hall of Famer and former light heavyweight champion of the world. Hey, Chuck, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man.
Great to see you. You like that song. That sounds like something you'd come into the ring with, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a great song. It's actually Dana's ring back tone when you call him.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? That's funny. Chuck, how you been? How's retirement? Well, I know you're always busy, but it's been, what, almost 3 years now since you stopped fighting?
Almost, 2010.
Do you miss it?
Yeah. I'll always miss it. I miss fighting. I love training. I love working out. I love martial arts. I've been doing this since I was 12. So,
I've always thought that has got to be one of the hardest things, no matter what sport you fall in love with. If you're a professional athlete and you're the kind of guy like you were, who is at the very top of his game and gets all of that success and loves it, it must be so hard to walk away from it and know that the next 40 years you're not going to be doing the thing you love anymore.
Well, I think the hardest part is knowing you've been doing the last 40 years. I mean, you've been getting 30, 40 years. You've been getting you've had something to get ready for.
Yeah.
Something down the road. It's always something to – you got a goal. It's what you're driven by. You're mm-hmm. always getting ready for that to go on. And now all of a sudden, for the first time that you can remember, you don't have anything you're ready for.
Now, you were fortunate enough because you have a pretty good business mind that you were able to get a job with the UFC. You work in the business end of it right now.
Yeah.
Was that the plan like ahead of time, or did you drift for a while after you stopped fighting before you realized, hey, maybe I can still do something with the organization?
No, we talked before I retired. I mean, we talked September. I announced my retirement in December. I told Dana I needed a little time to kind of accept that I made that decision and – you know, and he's okay, cool. And then we announced it a little bit later because, you know, it is tough, and it's tough to tell. It was tough to talk about it at the time, and I was just, you know, I love fighting and I love being out there, so it was tough.
Do you think you waited too long to retire? That those last few fights were tough for you.
You know, I it was one of those things. I felt good. I went out and did. I did a long, super long camp for Franklin. I felt great. I thought,
you expected to win.
And if I hadn't got caught with a few seconds left, I mean, it was over. I had won that fight. I think I got hurt with the head, that where I headbutted him a little bit. I think that's, but because I don't remember much after that. So, but you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. I've heard a lot of explanations on why. It's easier to get knocked out now for me, but I haven't heard any solutions.
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone's got any, I'll consider coming back. Someone send me one, but that's the thing. And to fight the way I fight, it's tough to you know, I used to put my hands down and invite you to exchange with me. You know, I figured I hit harder than you do, and
right.
I'm gonna knock, if we exchange, I'm gonna knock you out. You know, you might hit my arm, but I'm gonna knock, if we exchange, I'm gonna win.
That worked out a lot for you, Iceman. Come on,
I mean, yeah. I was
what you won 10 in a row or something at one point. I mean,
I don't know, 8, I think, but yeah.
8, yeah, exactly. So now you're an ambassador for the sport. Is it a full time job?
Kind of. I travel a lot. I do a lot of different things, a lot of promotion stuff, and then, you know, it depends on what it is. But it's fun. I mean, I have a good time. I still like, you know, meeting fans and going out and doing stuff. It's cool.
Of course, yeah. The reason you're here is because there's another big fight coming up. And they're really, I mean, this is the amazing thing. We have Dana on all the time, and he's, you know, he has always had this vision of how he was going to grow this sport. He famously said one day the UFC is going to be bigger than the NFL. And it does seem to get bigger and bigger every year. And this UFC 162, it seems crazy with everything that they've got planned. I mean, it's turning into like a Super Bowl week, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's so much stuff going out there. Like, I mean, they usually do 2 autograph signings a day, and I think they're doing 1 every hour.
Wow.
They got over 40 guest fighters. We got, I'm at a pool party on the 4th, and then got some other party. And
that's your job.
Yeah. It's not too tough. There's another party on the 5th I'm at. You know, it's gonna be good. I mean, you got the XS is gonna have the open workouts. I think they're doing.
This is Fight Week 2013 in Las Vegas is where we're talking about. Of course, we're gonna talk about the fight when we come back in a minute with Mr. Liddell. Silva versus Weidman is gonna be amazing at the MGM Grand Garden. That's gonna be on the Saturday night. But the UFC Fan Expo is happening at the Mandalay Bay on the 5th and the 6th. You can see the weigh-in, obviously the pool party you're talking about. Oh, I don't know, Chuck. It's just you with the UFC Octagon Girls on the 4th of July. If that's not proof that America is the greatest goddamn country on earth on the 4th of July, then I don't know what is. And then there's a UFC concert with 3 Days Grace at the Fremont Street Experience. That's also on the 4th of July. That's free. I mean, they're really just taking over the town for the whole week. I mean, it's amazing all the stuff that's going on.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great. It's fun. I'm there a lot, so I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm actually doing I got a seminar or two at the expo, so it should be good.
When you do a seminar, is this for people who want to fight?
It's for
whoever. Is that what it's about?
For the most part, usually it's mostly fans. I mean, more or less. I mean, it's going to be geared towards newer beginners.
Gotcha.
Just because I will show stuff there that if someone when I'm the way I show it and I kind of walk around and if you've got experience, I'll show a couple. I always show my overhand right, and I throw a few things different than a lot of people. So I always show things that someone can take from it that has been doing a long time, but it is geared more towards the people that are there.
Gotcha. All right, let's get this man a Miller Lite so we keep him happy, all right? Chuck the Iceman Liddell is in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the UFC Hall of Famer. We'll talk some more about this amazing lineup. Weidman called out Silva and said, I want you. We'll find out from Chuck how he thinks that's going to go when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, we just had your pal Randy Couture in here a couple of weeks ago. He's still doing pretty well, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, he's doing good.
The Chuck Liddell is in studio with us, UFC Hall of Famer and former lightweight heavyweight champion, talking about an awesome event coming up. It's Fight Week in Las Vegas next week. UFC 162 is Silva versus Weidman. Everybody loves Anderson Silva, it seems like. This guy is amazing. Are you as big a fan as the rest of the world is, Chuck?
I'm a huge fan of Anderson. He's a tough guy. He's a nice guy, very respectful, true martial artist, and just explosive.
A lot of people, they throw around pound for pound best fighter at the weight class. A lot of people seem to really believe it about Silva, though.
Yeah, he's got a good argument for it. I mean, he has great, timing, speed, and sheer power. You know, he puts it all together. You know, and he's he's got submissions under his belt. He's got a good ground game.
Maybe this is going to be a politically incorrect question to ask you, but if you had been able to pick Silva's opponent, would it have been Weidman?
Who would
you like to see him fight?
I don't know. That's tough. I don't. There's. He's been cleaning out that weight class for a while.
Yeah, he's been beating everybody, right? What do you think about Chris? Let's talk about him first.
You know, he still doesn't have a lot of experience now.
Right, I, 9-0.
I haven't seen him fight a lot. I wasn't paying attention when I saw him fight. As far as because I watch fights different if I'm coaching someone against someone or if I'm just having fun. You know, having fun, I'm just watching, having a good time. You know, cheering. I actually cheer for both guys usually because I just want action. But
you just want to see a good fight.
Yeah, I just want to see a good fight. But you know,
He's worked his way up pretty fast. I mean, I think he's only been fighting like 3 years or something like that. Yeah. But he got himself in a position where he gets to fight the champ.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, and if I don't know the background of it, how he got the, but if he's there, and you know, they say he's ready to be there, it'll be good. I mean, he's gonna have to take him down. He doesn't want to stand with him. And he's going to have to do it for 5 rounds. If he, I mean, I don't know how he's finishing. I don't know how his finishing is. I really don't. But either he's going to either get after him and try to finish him, or I mean, Silva can knock you out. He'll be able to knock him out if he could lose all 4 rounds and knock him out in the fifth. If you make a mistake at any time with him, it can be over. So it's hard to bet against him when it's like that. But I'm interested to see how this kid's going to do. And you know, it seems like everyone from his camp and all those guys are very confident that he's going to be able to pull it off and do it.
How effective is? I mean, he's been pretty outspoken about wanting to fight Spider. How effective is the one fighter calling out another fighter, even to take it a step further? Someone like Chael Sonnen, who is a trash talker.
Okay, hold on. That annoys me. Okay, I like Chael. He's a nice guy. I really do. But I can't stand the way the trash talk he does. He goes way overboard.
It works and for him, though.
It works for him to sell a fight, but I feel he's gotten title shots he didn't deserve, you know, and that bothers me. I would rather have someone who deserved it up there. He's a tough guy, he's gotten title shots by running his mouth, and more power to him. I mean, he's making his money doing that, and that's what he's doing. But as a pure fight fan, and I don't like it.
You're talking about the John Jones fight that you don't think he ever should have gotten, I assume, right?
Right.
How about when you're the fighter, like in Anderson Silva's case, if he's hearing a lot of trash talking from the other side, is it just noise to him, or does he pay attention? I mean, how much are you aware of what the other guy's PR campaign is leading up to a fight?
Look, for me, if I'm trash talking to you, I'm trying to elicit a response. I'm trying to get something from you. I mean, it's part of the game for me. I think some guys get it, but you know, when you start getting personal about family and, I mean, Tito did it once. He was talking about, he said on a radio interview down in San Diego, he said, "I don't date white trash." He was like Chuck.
Oh, ouch.
Wow.
and everyone, so we're at it, and that was before he fought Vitor. I don't know why he's even talking about me, but, so we were at a club later that night after the fight, after he beat Vitor. We're at a club, and the promoter came over to me. "Hey, man, you got to squash this. Your camp and his camp are going to fight if you don't go over there and do something." I said, "All right." So I walked over to him and brought the girl I was seeing at the time and said, "Look, first off, apologize to her."
Yeah.
For the white trash remark, right?
Yeah. Second off, well, he's a moron. he was talking.
Wait, hold on.
He said, He thought it was Juliette Lewis, who I was dating her, because they said it in a magazine somewhere. I knew her, but I wasn't dating her. And let me check. She's not white trash. She plays that on TV.
Right. Right. Right.
Although she is a little bit crazy, Chuck. Let's be honest.
Okay. Well, but anyway. Yeah. So I told him, first off, apologize to her. Second off, if you ever talk about my family or friends on a radio interview or TV interview again, I swear to God, I know where you live. I will come beat you in your living room,
dude.
And he's like, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I was talking about somebody else." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, then we're cool." And I walked off. But I mean, that stuff to me, like, you can talk all the trash about me you want. You're selling a fight, whatever. You can say whatever you want about me. I don't care.
Leave your family out of it.
Leave my family out. Leave my friends. Don't be rude to them. They didn't get into this. They didn't try it. They don't have. So I don't like when he all the stuff with the country. I mean, it just got way too WWE for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I hear you. And that's what
I'm not even mad. You get, like the Diaz brothers. The Diaz brothers, they don't bother me. You know why? Because I know them, and that's just them.
Right. Exactly.
It's not an act.
Well, the thing,
hey, guess what? It's not an act. Don't get me wrong. I think they should, you know, be a little, you know, they got to realize they have to promote fights if they and not and show up to interview. I mean, fans expect you to be there. You said you're going to be there. Be there. You know, learn to carry your business. But at least them and their trash talking, and it's just them. They're just being themselves. They're not. It's not an act. It's not a. That's just who they are.
This is the voice of Chuck the Iceman Liddell here on the Kevin DeBeccio UFC Hall of Famer. We're talking about UFC 162. That's going to be Silva versus Weidman. Tickets are on sale now, by the way, through Ticketmaster for MGM Grand Garden Arena at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, July 6th. Lister just emailed in of a photo of you at the Warped Tour recently, Chuck. Was that, were you out at that?
Yeah, my son wanted to go, so we went down and checked it out.
That's hilarious. Your boy
is down to my buddy's, one of the family, Ernie Ball's. The guys are down there, they had me down there, so it's cool.
Your son is 14, right?
Yeah.
If he wanted to get into the fight game, what would you advise him? Would you let him?
Of course. Of course, if he wanted to do it, I'd do it. I mean, I'd get him the right coaches. I'd help, but I wouldn't want to be his head coach. I always still want to be dad. I want to be able to cheer and not kind of – and I know – just from the way I am with my good friends when they fight, I'm going to be way too nervous to be his coach.
Yeah, yeah.
I never get nervous before I fight, but when my friends are out there, I'm pulling my hair out. And
I know that mixed martial arts changed your life. I've heard you talk about before that you had trouble concentrating and focusing and getting things done, and it kind of taught you discipline. And a lot of guys tell that. We hear that story all the time. For that reason, would you encourage young people to go into it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, getting involved in martial arts is great for kids. I mean, it's you have the right coach, the right people teaching. Even if they never fight, they never do anything. It's the discipline and training in it. I mean, and it includes wrestling. I'm telling you, wrestling, high school, college wrestling, high school wrestling. That's one of the toughest. It is the toughest sport in high school. To go through those, it makes you mentally tough.
Right. Good advice from a man who knows what he's talking about. It's always great to see you, Chuck. How long do you think you can pull off that haircut?
You know, people ask that all the time. I don't know. We go back and forth. I don't mind growing it back out, just the sides out. It doesn't matter to me. But I shave it again. I don't know.
You don't see many mohawks on too many dads. That's all I'm saying. It looks good on you. It's the look that we're used to seeing you on. I just wonder if you ever think about that.
Yeah, you know, people have said stuff, and I've thought about it, and I don't know. At some point, I don't know when you pull the trigger for saying, you know what, I guess I probably should. I think at some point I'll either just make a big spiky one or just get rid of it all together. But
well, like you said when you came in, Chuck, you know, you're a fan of the Teenage Ninja Turtles. You're still a kid at heart, so you're living your life. You're enjoying it, so why the hell not, right?
Yeah, I still got my, I still got my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas, I guess. I got Tasmanian Devil ones.
Is Chuck Liddell in his Tasmanian Devil's pajamas? All right. Follow him on Twitter at Chuck Liddell and, of course, UFC.com for all the information on Fight Week 2013. UFC 162, Silva versus Weidman. You're a lot of fun, man. Thanks for coming in. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to win 9-inch Nails tickets for their show coming up November 8th at Staples Center. And you may go on a private helicopter, suite at the Marriott, best seats in the house. Your chance to win on the way. Ralph is here.
How far is the Marriott from the festival? Where can you really get going?
It's quite a ways, Mr. Hasselhoff. Thanks for asking, though. Your chance to win coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Well, interesting article about the season finale of AMC's Mad Men this year.
Yes, it was so good. I'm thinking about it.
Boy, what an amazing episode. So much happens in that finale. If you're a fan, I'm sure you enjoyed it as well. Good ratings for AMC. 2.7 million viewers tuned in Sunday night to watch the finale. But what I thought was interesting was they break down what they call the demos in ratings, but who's watching and how many people watching. So if you take the 2.7 who watched it live, then you add another 1.5 million viewers for DVR playback.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3.7 million viewers.
That's more.
Which is more. And then it was interesting to me that they broke it down into who's watching Mad Men, and it is actually the number one
drama on cable for adults 25 to 54 who earn more than $100,000 a year or more.
Really?
So it's a very upscale skewing show, and that's another reason AMC loves it so much, is because they get high-end advertisers to sell.
That explains all the Mercedes commercials.
Yeah, automobiles and booze and things that rich people like to indulge in. Whores, cocaine, a lot of cocaine commercials during that, you noticed during the finale. So, season finale, the final season, rather, will air next summer. I have to wait a whole nother year before we get
married. Now, am I a sad, pathetic human, Ralph?
Yes.
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I am already depressed about a life without Mad Men once that show goes away.
No, I felt the same way. As I watched the final episode of the penultimate season, I was like, oh, that means it's just another dozen episodes or so, and then it's gone.
Yeah. And we're gone, yeah.
And no more, and then what? Then what do I watch? Honey,
we're
going to
live in a world with no Breaking Bad and no Mad Men.
Ugh.
It's going to be tough. And no Dexter. All of them will be gone.
I know. Although I got to tell you, I know you guys don't watch, but Magic City is back, and I'm really enjoying the season of Magic City.
I actually started taping it. I'm going to watch it.
Boy, good stuff's happening.
Lisa, you're not allowed to watch anything until you watch Orphan Black, all right?
I'm waiting
Stop
for
it.
The DVDs to come out.
Oh, Lisa.
I have a lot on my list.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you like being. You're very busy.
I am.
Congratulations to George Lucas and his new bride, Melody Hobson. They got married in Marin County last weekend. A-list guests, as you can imagine. A lot of big-time celebrities.
Farrah Abramson?
She did not attend. His bride is a chairwoman of the board of DreamWorks Animation, so she's got a high-powered position in her own right. And she is a money and personal finance contributor on ABC News. So she will be able to spend all of George's money when he dies or she divorces him.
Excellent.
Whatever comes first.
Is she, as I assume, because it's a Hollywood marriage, significantly younger, Ralph?
It does not say here what her age is, but I'm guessing yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just waiting for him to die.
I didn't get them anything. I feel bad. I didn't get him a present.
You should have.
I want to get George like a sterling silver chin carrier for his giant dewlap of a double chin that he rocks. It's quite impressive. I don't know what he stores in there. He's like a pelican. I think it's mostly fresh fish that he holds in there. Big news yesterday about the sequel for Independence Day. Why so soon, you may be asking. But
yeah,
yes,
what's the rush?
Director Roland Emmerich is planning a sequel for Independence Day. He says Will Smith now is too expensive to put in the movie, so he will not be appearing in the film.
Wait a second, it's his franchise.
No, it's not. Not anymore. Now it's director Roland Emmerich's franchise. He is the guy who directed the first one. He's directing this one as well. So about half of the characters from the original film will be returning, he said. Half will be brand new. So I guess it'll be a new alien invasion, new heroes, and what have you. He directed that movie White House Down that comes out this weekend, which looks like a perfect Kevin film to me.
It does.
Just
looks noisy.
Loud. It looks like a loud film. Boy, does it look...
What? Lisa!
My boyfriend's in it.
Your boyfriend's in the movie?
Not my real boyfriend, my wish boyfriend.
Channing Tatum?
Yes.
I see. So you go see anything with Channing
Pretty
Tatum.
Pretty much.
You want someone to be Channing all over your Tatum?
Yes, yeah, that would be great.
It's been a number of years since Independence Day came out, but for some reason, Ralph, I seem to think that like broke the mold in terms of summer blockbuster, in terms of just really amping up the crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That one seemed bigger and better than everything that had come before.
Yeah, Kevin Smith and I did a sit-down review of Man of Steel. We did opposing viewpoints on Man of Steel, and we both came to the conclusion that Independence Day was the beginning of the blowing, building up franchises of all those
Maybe
movies.
That's what I'm thinking of, is because that was so
half
shocking.
An hour of buildings being blown up.
Yeah, really. Seeing the White House blow up, and then seeing... Yeah, exactly, because I remember it didn't... And then they roll it out like in a Super Bowl commercial or something like that. It just, like, blew everybody away to see all this carnage upon Earth.
And it was the beginning of the end, some people would say. Let's take a look at what is new today being released on CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD, since Lisa's waiting for the box set of Orphan Black before she finally sits down to watch. CSI New York, the final season, if you want to check that out, that's available on DVD today. The Call with Halle Berry, when it comes to feature films, is available on DVD. See, she's a 911 operator
Uh-huh.
who starts to fight crime.
No! Come on.
No.
It makes perfect sense.
Doesn't someone call her from like the trunk of a car and she stays on the line until they find her or something?
She doesn't stay on the line. She goes after them. She goes out to rescue the person in the trunk.
They're trained to do that.
They all are, yes. All 911 operators are trained to be superheroes.
You don't put the phone down and then jump in your car and put on a superhero suit and go out and look for the person who called you,
yes,
Lisa.
She does.
You have them on a mobile phone and then you just go.
Listen, we know somebody who was a 911 operator. They're not fighting any crime ever.
That's true. No!
Can barely open a bag of Chips Ahoy's. If you want to see one of the late, great James Gandolfini's performances, you can check out the incredible Burt Wonderstone is available on DVD today. He's in that film with Steve Carell and Jim Carrey and Steve Buscemi. And new music on CD. You got Gifted by Whale. Volume 3 of Club Life. Stockholm by Tiesto.
Dave made this list.
Yeah, he did. And In a War Zone by Transplants, also available today. Today's celebrity birthdays, Busy Phillips. She is on that Cougar Town show.
Yeah, pretty.
Maybe I first came to notice her in Freaks and Geeks. She's 34 years old today. Her Freaks and Geeks co-star, Linda Cardellini, since we're talking about Mad Men. She was on this season as Don's mistress, 38 years old today. Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 41. Angela Kinsey of The Office is 42. While we're talking about The Office, Ricky Gervais, who created that show in the UK, he is 52 years old today. Jimmy J.J. Walker from Good Times is 66. And George Michael of Wham!
That's a guy who is one of the most successful songwriters in history and just blew it all away with cocaine. Just wasted the rest of his life.
I don't know if it was coke or was it, he seems to be nodding off a lot. I don't know if it's coke. I think he's some other kind of drugs. Because if
maybe
he was coke, he would stay awake behind the freaking wheel.
That's true.
Instead of passing out and falling out of his driver's side door on the freeway in the UK.
So if he'd done as much coke as he did other drugs, he would have written 1,000 more songs.
That's right. He'd be up. He'd be busy. He'd be, you know, productive. Not so sleepy all the time. He's 50 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Probably the song of the summer of 2013, Daft Punk's Get Lucky, here on the world-famous K-Rock of Monsters and Men and Smashing Pumpkins, coming up later this hour.
Why do I have to stay up all night to get lucky? Why can't I get lucky early in the evening and go to bed at a reasonable time? Why can't that be my plan?
That's even better, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. I've got more energy for the ladies' pleasure as well as my own, and then we all go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Really?
We
get up
and have a nice breakfast at
IHOP
afterwards.
So right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the way to
Excellent
do it.
Choice. Hey, listen, I hate to suggest that we're about to talk about Kim Kardashian, porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, but we do have to talk about this baby. The most famous infant in the world since Blue Ivy was born last year is little North, no middle initial, West. And a lot of people have been weighing in on the choice of the name. Of course, they weren't going to give the kid a normal name. That was never even a consideration, I'm sure, right?
No.
Because there's no, hey, look at me, and here's my daughter, Angela, right?
It's so funny how you sucked a lot of my anger about this out of me the minute you brought up Blue Ivy. I forgot all about her. Jeez, Blue Ivy makes North seem downright pedestrian.
It does, right? Yeah. Blue Ivy is a pretty name, but it's also a made-up name.
Yeah,
it's also not a name.
Right.
And this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the decision that a parent makes, and it may be the decision that has as much to do with anything that you do with your kids for the whole rest of your life, because you are giving them their name that they will live with, presumably, for 75 years.
Right.
And sometimes you don't always make the best choices, and sometimes you make choices for odd reasons, and sometimes you end up being the only person you've ever met with your name, and you have to deal with that, and you have to deal with spelling it, and you have to deal with explaining it, and you have to deal with the name being made fun of. And I wonder if it's worth it to get that little bit of uniqueness that your parents hope you're getting when you get a one-of-a-kind name.
Of course not. It's all built on a fallacy. That if I name my child something exotic and unique and wonderful, that will somehow translate throughout the rest of their lives, and their entire lives will be lived in that rarefied atmosphere.
I know this is going to sound crazy, and I'm sure that a lot of people don't live up to their names, but I actually heard someone yesterday, a sociologist, talking about that there are some studies that show that does affect a child in some ways.
to the negative.
No, and actually could have them live better lives if they feel empowered by their name.
But the vast majority, Lisa, now, people who have achieved anything were named Al and Mel and Steve.
Right.
And
what if
Joe
your name was Asshor?
John.
We'd have to do some sort of a study, but I don't think like Apple is an empowering name. Do you know what I mean? Like most of these names don't.
But what Ralph is saying is, look at our presidents, with the exception of Barack, who comes from a hawked up Indonesian family and was born in Kenya. With the exception of him, think about our socialist. Most recent presidents. Think about our Georges and our Bills and, you know, guys like that
Jimmy's
who become president.
Do you
Jerry.
Think we vote for some president with a truly bizarre name?
No, but
although
look,
we didn't do
but look what they achieved
Barack.
Before they get to become even a candidate for president. They've lived successful, well-rounded lives without the benefit of being named after a direction, for example.
Although,
but
having said
a
that,
certain age that
having
when
said
were...
that, I hate to bring up a little man named Mitt, who did pretty well for himself with a pretty honked up name,
and
by
Barack.
The way.
Loser, by the way. Mitt, loser.
We want to hear from Kevin to Beat listeners who have that one-of-a-kind honked-up name. Your parents they saddled you with a name. You are Dweezil, or whatever your name is. We want to hear from you. Actually, if Dweezil is listening, he should call in.
Yes,
we want to hear from you. If you're Zowie Bowie, who ends up changing your name when you get of age because your stupid parents named you Zowie, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And we want to find out what it's like to have one of these crazy names. Like, what's it going to be like for North when she's in school and she's 12? What's her life going to be like, little North?
Especially in geography class. Where he says, so now let's move north. Up to Canada. Everyone's going to be laughing.
Now, let me ask you guys this question. Again, we're taking your calls. If you've got the one-of-a-kind name, 1-800-520-1067. Now, you were saying earlier, Ralph, that more information has come out about the name North. And it's not just a stupid pun on, hey, my first name's North, my last name's West.
Yeah.
What was it you were saying? Where did the inspirational name come from?
Sounds like a big, fat, juicy rationalization to me. But the sources are claiming that the two of them got together and said North represents the pinnacle of their relationship, like the North Star. She is the culmination of this amazing relationship that they have, and that North is also a synonym for up, and her life is always going to be moving up. Which is just dumb.
And if you come up with a name like that means something to you, does that justify giving it to the baby?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
You can encourage all of those same attributes without naming the child something that really is sort of a disadvantage from the outset, I think. A lot of times I think the name of a child is so often a reflection of the ego and the hubris of the parents.
That's true.
That has nothing to do with what they wish for that child. It's about them doing something that draws more attention to them. Like Kris Jenner named all of her children Kay after her name, which starts with a K. So in some way, all of their lives is some reflection back on her, which obviously egomania we know is the case.
Look at the Duggars, those family who don't do birth control. What do they have, like 25 kids that all start with J, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I was surprised to find out that this is not the only North. In fact, the government does keep records of names in the United States. They do track birth certificates. And there were 5 babies named North last year. They expect now, by the way, people who run, you know, in the baby naming circles, they expect now that North will become a more popular name as a result of the exposure from Kim and Kanye,
sure.
too.
I'm sure there are more apples now than there ever were before, and more blue eyes. Anytime you do something honked up, there's a certain percentage of douchebags who will follow you off the cliff.
All right, let's take a couple calls here. 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for you if you have a one-of-a-kind name, your parents made up a name, or they just, you know, they took a thing like an apple and decided that was going to be a name and saddled it with you. We want to find out what your life is like. Let's go to ABBA on line 2, for instance, to get us going. Let's find out what it's like for little ABBA, shall we?
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Hi, ABBA.
So, ABBA like ABBA?
Like the band, yes.
Mamma mia! I can't believe your parents named you that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I always get, how do you spell your name? Like the band. I guess in Egypt or some cultures, it's our father, so they always make Jesus jokes at me.
What's the story? I'm sure you asked your parents about it at an early age when you realized it was connected to something else. What did they tell you? Why did they name you ABBA?
Well, they told me I was born in Mexico, so they told my dad wanted to call me Guadalajara.
Wow.
You lucked out with ABBA.
Yeah. So my mom said, well, I don't like that name. How about ABBA? And then that's what he stuck with.
Was it because Mom was a Dancing Queen fan?
She liked them, but I mean, I don't even think they ever saw them in concert or even on the record, but I just think they like the name.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. And so, I mean, are you of an age now where you've lived with it, you're comfortable with it, you like it now, like you're happy you have that name, or do you still like every day go, God, I wish I'd changed it, or I wish they'd give me something else?
No, I really like it. I got in jobs because of it. I always start conversations with random people because of it. I love it. My name
How about that? We actually have a happy person with a honked up name, Ralph.
I wonder how close you were to becoming Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Like they turned on the radio. They said, all right, we can't decide a name. Whoever's playing when we turn on the radio right now, that's who you're going to be.
Oh, goodness.
Imagine. That's awesome. All right, ABBA, thank you very much for the call.
Okay,
we appreciate
thank
it.
You
Brother
guys.
Bee Gees.
1-800-520-1067. What's your honked up name? Your parents laid this name on you, and you've had to live with it your whole life. We want to find out what that's been like for you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Lisa. In honor of North, no middle initial, West, we're talking about crazy baby names here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. 1-800-520-1067 if you have one of these one-of-a-kind gems. By the way, Kevin and Bean listener named Daniel writes in and says, I wonder if today is the day that Boom Freaka will call back.
Oh,
remember
yes.
her?
I love Boom Freaka.
Boom Freaka. I remember when she called into the show last time. It's been years. I still can't forget that name, Fire Beer Mug. That's a perfect example of... How do you give your kid the name Boom Freaka and expect them to go through life and not end up on the Jerry Springer Show, right?
Or on the pole. Ladies and gentlemen, Boom Freaka making our way to stage number one.
All right, Ralph, your head is going to explode when you hear some of these names that we have on hold. Yeah, are you ready?
I'm already angry at these people, and they've done nothing to me.
Let's talk to line six. I won't pretend to know how to pronounce the name on line six, please, Beer Mug. Good morning, caller. What is your name? Hello?
Hello?
Is it me? Is it my
yes.
turn?
Yes, your
it's
turn.
You.
What's
yes.
your name?
Good morning. Okay. My name is Allegra.
Allegra.
Like the allergy medication.
Right. But there's a catch. I was born in 1970, and I am spelled numerologically.
What?
Please explain.
There's a point for every letter. So my mom came up with an Allegra, spelled with an E, E-L-L-Y-G-R-A. She's Spanish. And my middle name is...
Okay, you are totally breaking up. I apologize. We're having trouble understanding you. So your name is Allegra, but it's spelled E-L-L-Y-G-R-A. And you said that each of those letters represents something?
You got it. It's a letter is a point. So it's astrologically based.
Wow.
Would you consider legally changing the spelling of your name?
Absolutely. I would love to change my name.
You should do that.
Allergy medicine, but it's really, it's very painful.
It has to be.
And I have four children, and I name them very basic names.
Good for you. First of all, murder your parents, though, first, and then change your name. Thank you, Allegra. Thank you for calling. Can you imagine what that life is like? Mm-hmm. All right. Line five now. I'll try to pronounce this one. Is it Lenicel?
Lenicel, right?
Lenicel.
That sounds also sounds like
an ointment that you use when you have eczema.
It's a company that makes batteries. What's a Lenicel all about?
It is a mixture of Leonardo and Marcella, and then their nicknames, Marcella, or Selly and Narding. So I'm the youngest of six. There are six of us. Selinar, Narcel, Marlene with the only normal name. Leocel, who is a sister. Salan, who has a D at the end, and I had to ask him, do you pronounce the D in your own name? And then Lenicel.
Wow. What's that like having a name that you have to spell and pronounce every single time it comes up?
I try to go by Lena, which is spelled like Lena.
Yeah.
So that's another issue I go through.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like Lisa May said, empower my name using Lenicel. Hasn't worked.
No, it's
change
horrible.
His girlfriend.
What is it about the enormous egos of your parents that they had to put their names in all of the names of their kids?
I think it's a Filipino thing, which if I were born and raised there, would have been great. No problem whatsoever. Yeah.
Lenicel.
Maybe it should just be Lena.
Oh, I don't like Lena.
Well, then you need to add an N to Lena so people know how to pronounce it.
I've been called so many different things. Yeah. Lena, Elena.
That's tough.
I was going to say Lenicella. I thought maybe it was Italian.
Exactly.
An ice cream, right.
Selly.
All right. Thank you, Lenicel.
Lenicel.
All right. This won't stop
now
you guys.
Now with aloe vera. Lenicel. Now with aloe vera.
Line 7, Ralph Garman, put your hands together for the beautiful Zoanne joining us here.
Oh, Zoanne.
The-
no.
Yes, Zoanne.
Hi, Zoanne. What's going on, girlfriend?
Nothing much, but I know where this joke's going already.
Nope, Zoanne. We're not making any jokes. We're just trying to find out what your life is like. Now, how did you end up with the name Zoanne?
Oh, my parents fought over my name for weeks. I was actually going to be an Allegra because I'm Italian. That's an Italian name. So hello to Allegra.
Wow.
But they fought over Zoe and Anne for weeks, and they couldn't get over it. And so finally they were like, let's just put it together. She could be Zoe or Anne if she wants.
No one could go to the middle name position? No one would fall back to the, couldn't you be Zoe and blank?
No, that wasn't an option, apparently.
Oh, your parents are horrible people. So how do you like it? Have you grown into the name Zoanne now? Are you proud of it now? Are you happy with it?
You know what? I love my name now, except for when that horrible Adam Sandler movie came out, Zohan. I got Zohan teased for weeks.
Oh, sure. Don't mess with the Zohan.
That's right. That's tough. All right, Zoanne, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to line 8. Lisa, I want you to meet a good friend of mine. His name is Rowdy.
Rowdy!
More margaritas.
What's up, Rowdy?
How's it going, guys?
You tell us. What's it like being a rowdy?
It's actually turned out pretty well. As a kid, I didn't like it. Of course, I got teased a lot. And everyone tells me, oh, I had a dog named Rowdy. Well, gee, thanks. Yeah. And Rowdy's not even the worst part. It's Rowdy Albert Chris William Russell.
What?
Wow, that's a lot of names. That's
name
a lot of names.
So long, I had to get an addendum on my marriage certificate. It cost me an extra
$50. You needed a centerfold.
I'm not saying that Rowdy is not a terrible name, because it's a terrible name. But at least it's a word. At least it's a word that people have heard of. At least it's a word that people know how to spell, as opposed to the people we've been talking to who are just made up, like Frankenstein's monster names.
Well, I mean, I still get the Rowdy, and you know, some of those pronunciations, but yeah, it's, at least it's common. You're right.
Is Rowdy any connection to Rowdy Yates, the character from Rawhide that Clint Eastwood played?
Bullseye, sir.
Yes, really? That's where it comes from?
Exactly. I actually used to carry around the Trivial Pursuit card in my wallet.
That's the only Rowdy I've ever heard of, is that character.
Well, Roddy Piper. We got him, too. He was a Rowdy.
But that was a nickname. Rowdy wasn't his name. His name was Rod. Nickname, Rod Piper. Right.
Rowdy was the descriptive on him. It was the descriptive. For me, it's the actual name.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. I want to introduce everybody to Sultan now. Sultan.
Sultan.
Is on line 7.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
It's not.
I am the Sultan.
It's horrible.
Off with your heads.
Come on.
Sultan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
You tell us.
I don't know. I'm 28 now, but like when I was born, my dad's real dad's name that passed away was Sultan, and I'm of Persian descent, so I don't know. I've been going through that my whole life.
Sultan.
Is there a nickname? Do people call you anything else?
Yeah, like Salt and Pepper, Saltine Crackers. Then Aladdin came around when I was like 10 years old. Sultan Ali, I mean.
Yeah,
that's tough. Everything.
Yeah, it was bad timing with that Aladdin thing, wasn't it?
That didn't help you. Yeah. That didn't help you at all.
I still get the Aladdin thing, but Soul Train came around.
Soul Train. All right. Yeah. So, how about you? Where are you with the name now? What's your relationship? Do you like it now, or hate it, resent it? What?
No, I like it. I mean, it's like a kind of an empowering name. You know, it's you know, when people say that name, they're like, it's the first time they've usually said it, so it's like, you know, it's like, oh, Sultan, you know.
It is royalty. That's kind of cool.
Is.
It commands a little respect, honestly, and it's probably it's good in the position I'm in, so it's all good.
All right, Sultan, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it. We're out of time, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Cleone, we didn't get a chance to talk to you, or Doreen, or Oriana. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get all those on. But this is something to think about, parents. I mean, Ralph, I know you had a lot of conversations about what to name your daughter. I mean, you got to put some time in. You got to understand this is a long-term decision that you're making that affects your kid forever, right?
Pick something nice and pleasant and let your kid do the rest of the work. Don't name him something dumb like, you know, Bean or something.
How dare you? All right, we got to clear the lines here. I'm sorry, we're done with this topic. We have to clear the lines, but it's been a while since we've done a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. Ralph is wrong about something.
Oh, I couldn't be more right.
And I need some help. I need somebody to back me up on this. But, of course, because it's a scientific survey, it has to be random. We can't tell you what the topic is. But we are looking for jurors, basically. We're looking for you to weigh in to help us settle the dispute here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give us a call. We'll clear the lines and open them right back up at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be part of a Kevin and Bean scientific survey, we'll talk to you next right after this.
Fire beer mug.
Seriously. We shouldn't have to hear about that at all, ever, right?
No, we shouldn't. It's horrible. Okay.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Happy holidays, everybody. Oh! Today is, in fact, a holiday because, obviously, it's June 25th, which means it's half Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. God Christmas is now 6 months away, meaning starting tomorrow, we are closer to Christmas than we are away from Christmas.
So effing what?
My sister's birthday is on Christmas Day, and we have a half birthday for her.
Well, why?
Because now she has another reason to celebrate. Everybody else has birthdays in the summer, and she's so left out. And everybody ignores her birthday at Christmas.
Half Christmas is a thing that is gaining steam every year, and I think it should
douchebags.
No, by people who know what's up.
I like that category.
I wish I could take credit for half Christmas. I celebrate half Christmas every year.
Can we turn down this goddamn song?
Why? Because it's too awesome. Because it's too awesome? Is that why? Half Christmas is an annual tradition celebrating the halfway point to the Christmas holiday. The event was started by Christmas fanatics around the world who love Christmas so much, they decided to celebrate it twice a year, 6 months apart. Half Christmas is celebrated on June 25th and includes ugly Christmas sweater parties, white elephant gift exchanges, watching Christmas movies, TV shows, and more. And what I'm saying is, who doesn't need another holiday? Like, why wouldn't we want a holiday right here in summertime where we get a chance to talk Christmas and have
to... Whoa!
You can't use that word on the air, Ralph.
It's not freaking Christmas. That's why. That's why we can't celebrate it. You know why? Right. Because it's not Christmas. That is the best reason not to celebrate, because it is not Christmas. Just with the way you described it, like your little description you read there, I just when I envision it, everyone who's celebrating that is an asshole. I can just sense it. Them and their ugly Christmas sweater parties and their desperate need for some sort of manufactured joy in their lives.
It's not manufactured.
Death to them all.
God forbid we should have a little fun. God forbid we should enjoy a hot summer day and get a chance
I wish there was some way to celebrate something fun in the summertime. How about 4th of July? How about something
that? That is still 10 days away, though, Ralph.
How about Memorial Day? How about the summer solstice?
This is getting us over the hump. All right, so we thought...
There's no hump to get over!
I'd like to see half Christmas be a thing. I'd like to see us have a Christmas party on the Kevin and Bean Show every year. Oh. Maybe play some songs, talk to Santa, find out what's up at the North Pole.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
I think it would be so much
fun.
What's
wrong with you?
Why? Because I love fun. That's what's wrong
with
me.
You're the opposite of fun. And yet you pick this one thing to take a stand off, this manufactured, non-existent holiday that you want to celebrate?
You know how much I love Christmas, and especially Christmas music. Ralph, it's criminal to me that it's only a month of the year.
Do you play it all year long?
I do.
Well, then shut the F up. You don't need a special day for it. Just go about your business. Leave the rest of us alone.
But today's half Christmas, Ralph. Happy holidays.
It's not anything other than June the 25th. It's not
all
anything.
Right. We're going to go to some calls here because it's Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey. We're going to take your calls.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Thank you, Siri.
Apparently, we're going to go into sooner than I thought. 1-800-520-1067. Now, before we go to the calls, these people called before they knew what the topic was, so they should have an open mind about the situation. Mm-hmm. Lisa, what do you think? You're a girl who likes a party.
I'm okay with it.
I do have Christmas.
Why would you do have Christmas when it does nothing but diminish real Christmas?
Do I get a day off?
No.
Well, then it's not much of a holiday, is it?
We're working our way up to a day off.
Because it's not a holiday.
Give me the day off. I am in.
All right. So careful, Ralph. So we are going to go to your calls right now and find out, because it's a scientific survey. You help us decide whether half Christmas is a thing or not a thing that you would like to see celebrated here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have no idea which way you're going to go. And the first three out of five will be the verdict. Colette, you are up first. You have a very important role here today. You are on the jury. What say you about half Christmas?
Well, good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Colette.
Well, I love Christmas. Like,
mm-hmm. I'm going to put you down for a yes.
Let the woman finish.
Yes. I woke up this morning actually missing Christmas. I had no idea it was half Christmas today.
Like, you know why? Because it's not half Christmas, Colette.
But Colette is on to something, because this is what happens, is it's far enough away now that it starts to sound good to people because they do miss it.
Right. So we can't wait till it comes around, because it comes once a year and that's what makes it effing special.
But that's 6 months from now. Why wait another 6 months when you can enjoy it today? Like, I'm watching Elf tonight.
Are you?
Colette, what do you got? Yes or no?
Yes.
Definitely.
All right.
Happy Christmas should be a thing.
Oh, Colette is here. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that, my dear. Let's try
horrible
Cindy.
Woman. Horrible, horrible woman.
Cindy is up next. She's on line two here on the Kevin Bean Show. Cindy, you've heard the arguments on both sides. My side, the right side, and Ralph, the wrong side. What say you?
Hell no. Ralph is right.
God bless you, Cindy, a clear-thinking woman.
Party pooper.
It's way too much work. Two Christmases. I don't even want to deal with it.
It's only a half a Christmas.
It doesn't matter. It still involves Christmas.
Yes, Christmas once a year is plenty, right, Cindy?
All right. You're a Grinch is what you are. That's officially what you are.
I love Christmas at Christmas time, but
yes,
it's
exactly.
Too much in the summer. Let's do 4th of July and party up.
Right.
Word. Thank you for the call.
All right. You, baby.
Word, Cindy.
We,
all right.
We barely even get time off on the 4th of July.
All right, we're one in one right now. A guy named Kevin is up next. He's on line four now.
Oh,
that scares
me. This is a crapshoot, isn't it?
A guy named Kevin. Bad experience.
Never have good ideas
with that man. All right, Kevin. Yes or no on half Christmas?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm Kevin Bean. Lisa May, Ralph.
Kevin.
Ding. Yeah. Well, you know what? If I can get half of my gifts, I guess. Yeah, I'm all for it.
Half
you know?
The gifts. There you go.
You're in like, for hey, half Christmas.
Let me get half. Way in there, you know, like at least I know what I'm getting and I better get it. If not, I got
Kevin,
to get a refund.
It.
All right, that means you also have to buy gifts for other people too, though. You understand it's not a one way thing, right?
Hey, but at least they only get half of it. They don't get the whole thing, so I could put it on
okay.
Show them like, hey,
all right, that's the kind of logic we expect from Kevin. Thank you very much.
That makes a lot of damn sense.
All right, we're two to one right now, four. Let's see what Chuck has to say. Hi, Chuck, you're up next on the Kevin Devine Show. Half Christmas, should it be a thing or no?
Well, okay, I was born on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
So I get shanked a lot of times.
Yes, you do.
On Christmas.
Yes.
So I'm kind of on the side of a half Christmas now.
I understand.
Right? But the only problem is, Australia have to play all sides then. Shouldn't you have a half Kwanzaa and a half Hanukkah? I mean, we're looking for other people too. And then I have to go out and get half, you know, Christmas presents too.
All right. Forget the soliloquy. Yes or no on half Christmas?
Oh, you got me in a tough one. I have to say yes. I mean, honestly.
He says yes!
Look, we can do half Hanukkah and half Kwanzaa.
Go back to your own damn country, wherever you're
from. Do I get more days off?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, half Christmas is now a thing.
Why stop? Let's make quarter Christmas. Every 3 months, let's freaking celebrate.
That's a great idea, Ralph. And this has been a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Congratulations to Alisa Pantoja. She is our latest winner here on the Kevin and Bean Show, listening to the program, and just won tickets to go see Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center in November. You can qualify, by the way, as she did, to win the private helicopter ride to the show, suite at the Marriott, best seats in the house. We'll have this for you all week long. Grand prize drawing is going to be Friday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman, happy holidays.
Shut up. It's not half Christmas. Those people were horrible people that called in. We just
you know how the scientific survey
but it
works.
It was a bad batch.
It is decided.
You had a guy doing a fake accent who said his birthday's on Christmas, and another girl was all loopy on cough syrup or something. You could tell it was just a
dude,
mess.
You know how juries are, man. You get what you pay for.
Mistrial. I'm moving for a mistrial. What a nightmare. Good bachelor talk in the next room, by the way. I can't wait for our bachelor recap.
I'm very excited about it as long as it stays in the next room. That's not why Petros is here.
He is. We're here. We're going to bring it after he talks some dumb sports for a while.
No!
By the way, sports, congratulations to the Bruins. I turned off the game a couple minutes left for the Stanley Cup game. I know they were up 2-1, so I just assumed they won. So congratulations.
Yeah, obviously they're just going to hold on with 76 seconds left to win that game and force the game seven, of course.
Congratulations to those guys. Good stuff. Showbiz news. Jim Carrey just can't get out of his own way. Just can't stop.
Well, he's not doing his new movie any favors.
Stepping on his junk. He stars in Kick-Ass 2, a movie which I can't wait to see, by the way. But now he's apologizing for the film.
Oh.
Saying that he made the film a month before the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary, which was devastating. But he says, now, in all good conscience, I cannot support that level of violence that takes place in the movie.
Okay, the movie's not real, though, right?
Someone forgot to tell Jim that, I guess. Maybe he's a method actor and he thinks all of his film experiences are real. Sent out his apologies for the film. He said, I'm not ashamed of it, but recent events have caused a change in my heart. And so he can no longer support the film because it has some violence in it. To which the director and producer of the film said, you know, all the violence was in the script but that you read when you said you were going to do the movie. So for you to suddenly
be attacking the film. Doesn't make much sense.
It really doesn't.
It is weird. It almost seems like the type of thing that they could sue him for, like he's intentionally sabotaging their film.
Well, I guess he really can. Freedom of speech, whatever, right? He's able to say whatever he wants about the film. I don't think there's any clause in a contract that probably says that you can't talk poorly.
You can't trash your movie?
Because people do all the time.
Right.
But I'm just stunned that he seems like a guy's a little bit full of himself. Like his opinion carries a little more weight than perhaps it actually does. More movie news. Another sequel to Taken. Taken 3. Liam Neeson returning as the CIA agent who uses his particular set of skills to get back people in his life who are kidnapped. And apparently a lot of people in his life are kidnapped.
I would rethink being his friend.
I would too. Well, they kind of made it work with the first one. The first one I liked a lot.
The first one was good.
The second one, they kind of made it work in the sense that they kind of tied it into the actions of the first one for the repercussions of the first one. That's why the second one happened. But I think you're going back to that well a third time. You better come up with something fresh because...
Well, to me, it's just like Hangover. It's just like you're making a movie because the last one made money, not because, in the service of the story at all.
Or like the Die Hard films where it's like the brother of the first guy was angry about that guy and then his uncle and then the nephew and they all get involved.
Just come out of the woodwork.
Just becomes the Hatfields and McCoys after a while.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, I'm Ralph Garman. I do the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Liam. Liam's got a big unit.
Mm-hmm.
The word on the street. How big? Never mind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jimmy J.J. Walker, 66 years
old.
Good
times.
That's right. That was his series. Ricky Gervais. Very funny and talented man. Of course, created The Office in the UK, which led to the beginning of his empire. But he's done a lot of funny stuff since as well. 52 years old today. You know, to celebrate Ricky's birthday, I might, for the next show, Bizbeat, have to pull out David Bowie's song about him, Little Fat Man.
That'd be great.
From Extras.
I would enjoy that.
I love that episode. George Michael's 50 years old today. He, of course, from Wham and his own popular solo career. And a lot of drugs, also. You may know him from all his drug use. Angela Kinsey from The American Office is 42. Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 41. Linda Cardellini. She was on ER. She was on Freaks and Geeks, most recently on Mad Men this past season. 38 years old. And Busy Phillips, her co-star from Mad Men, but Freaks and Geeks. 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sometimes you go, well, I guess he's not into that. I understand it's personal choice. I understand why that's not his movie or that's not his food or that's not his drink. And you go, all right, I understand. It's acceptable. But then there are other times where you go, it doesn't make any sense knowing everything else I know about you, Petros, how you don't like hockey. Like, what's not to like about hockey?
I didn't like hockey.
Yes, you did.
Off the air.
Don't waste my time with a stupid Stanley Cup.
Don't you try to Stanley Cup me when Yasiel Puig, the Cuban B, is doing it big in L.A. What's this Stanley Cup crap from back east, man?
I'm excited about your little Dodger friend, too, but how are
little
you
Little Dodger friend? I'm going to have him come up there and beat your ass with his forearms.
How are you a sports fan who doesn't care about hockey, particularly
this
Stanley Cup final, which maybe is one of the greatest Stanley Cup finals ever?
Beer Mug knows what I'm going to say. I'm not a sports fan. I'm a sports analyst. There's a distinct difference. And I'm not even a sports analyst. I'm a football analyst, and I'm not even a football analyst. I'm a college football analyst. So don't you sports fan me. I don't have a foam finger up in here.
No, but the competition and the athleticism and
I respect the sport of hockey. They are the coolest people to deal with in professional sports. They are tough men. They do not miss a shift if their jaws fall off. They are awesome. I just did not. I grew up in Southern California. Look, every once in a while, there used to be a king named Jimmy Carson, right? He was a Greek. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he used to show up at my dad's restaurant and get so drunk that he would end up in bed between my brother and I because my dad would take him. He'd take him home and put him in our room. And I'd wake up next to a dirty, stinking, drunk, hungover Los Angeles king. And we went to one game, and my dad, who's a Greek and doesn't know anything about hockey either, was like, see, boys, they are there skating. Look. It just wasn't part of our culture. I'm sorry. I know that, look, Duncan Sheik, who was Lisa Loeb's guitarist and then had that song, I Am Barely Breathing.
Sure,
Now plays for the Blackhawks. So he's got now, I think, two Stanley Cups.
That's not the same guy. That's
two
not, that's
Tony
not
Awards and a Grammy.
Not the same guy.
I am barely breathing. I can't find the air.
But this game last night, Pete, tell me, were you not watching
I was watching
game?
Los Doyers. I have Vin Scully telling the story of a young Cuban immigrant defector who happens to be the greatest player in the history of baseball, and he plays for Los Yoyers, and his name is Yasiel Puig, and he has a Twitter account, and on his Twitter he takes different photos of, like, cities that he's in from the car because he's Cuban, and they used a phone that called in the airstrike from Vietnam in Cuba. He's never had a cell phone, and here he is with a cell phone taking all these pictures. A young man's wonderment of America. That's what I'm interested in.
He's an inspirational player, but he's hardly the greatest player in the history of baseball. He's played 20 games, Pete.
It's getting there, though. I mean, just give him another 20, and you'll see what happens. You want him in the All-Star game. Don't lie, Bean.
Of course. I'd love to see him, though. I'm impressed with the guy, but what
he's an animal.
What he's doing in baseball doesn't negate how unbelievable last night's game was. That's all I'm saying. And you missed out. You lose, sir, if you didn't watch and enjoy that game.
I can't even follow the puck. It bounces around so fast. My eyes.
What's wrong with you? You've been watching too much Bachelorette. If now you can't watch hockey.
Oh, that's what I had to do last night too. I mean, I was watching Puig on the sling box on my iPhone on the side. What I was really watching was the Bachelorette. You're right about that.
We're not going to talk about that right now. We've got Ralph coming in to join you on the Bachelorette Report coming up in about 15 minutes. So the Dodgers do suck, though. Puig's not going to save the season. He's just going to give you something to root for the rest of the year, right?
Hey. Don't say the Dodgers suck.
Okay,
I mean, you're here in Los Angeles. Well, okay, they may be in last place. they may have been like 8.5 games back or something the other day. But, hey, we have won the last three, the Azul.
Right.
And things are looking up. And Yasiel Puig is the most exciting thing going right now in baseball.
He's
Mike Trout from last year, who was an Angel.
Right.
But the better part, he's Cuban, which is really special. I mean, we don't get a lot of Cuban love here because, you know, there's sanctions and we don't even get the cigars. But we have Yasiel Puig. And do you know what the name of his team in Cuba was, Bean?
I don't.
The Cienfuegos Elefantes. And do you know that the teams in Cuba have like a motto? They don't just have a name. They have a motto. Do you know what their motto was?
I can't imagine.
The pace of the elephant is slow, but crushing. Okay. How can you not be inspired by this young man? Lisa, have you seen him?
No.
He's hot.
Okay, then
He's muscular. He's got sinewy forearms.
Why didn't you say that in the beginning?
Yasiel Puig. He's igniting the city, and you guys are sitting here talking Stanley Cup, ho-hum. Come on,
well,
man.
Well, I'm saying there perhaps may be room for both. All right, one more sports note, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk Bachelorette, P. And that's, I want to know what you think about your beloved Los Angeles Clippers and their new multimillion-dollar coach. Good move?
I think it's part of the evolution that we've seen in the last couple years. I mean, it's happened so fast, legitimizing the Los Angeles Clippers, not only in the basketball world, but in the sports world.
Are you still impressed with him as a coach, though? Did you like the job he did coaching in Boston last
year? Well, he's one of the coaches in the NBA. I'm not enough of an analyst of basketball to break down what the guy does, but he's a tough coach. He does a lot with players. He's won a championship. He's an active coach that's won a championship. That proves that he can take a team to the next level. And you have to have great players, and the Clippers do. They have Chris Paul, who's the best point guard in the NBA. They have Blake Griffin, who's one of the greatest attackers in the NBA, and they need somebody to light a fire under that team, and it seems like Doc Rivers is exactly the guy. Look, it was surprising that the Clippers got Chris Paul. It was surprising that Blake Griffin became who he was for them. But this move really legitimizes them and says, look, they are really a contender. They're not going to beat the history of the Lakers anytime soon, but they are a contender currently right now for being much more relevant basketball-wise in this town in the present than the Los Angeles Lakers. They're in a great way with Doc Rivers, Chris Paul, and Blake Griffin.
Don't you think they need Puig, though? Isn't that what would put them over the top?
Well, look, Puig can inspire all of us. I mean, this show would be improved with Puig. Anything would be improved with Puig. If Puig was hanging off the trash truck that pulls up in my house tomorrow, that would be the best trash day of all time. Puig is... I'm serious, Bean. If you don't get behind this Puig thing, you're really missing
him.
Out. You have time to get on the train right now.
I like him. I'm on board. I've been fascinated with him as long with everybody
the
else.
The train to communism and socialist revolution.
Is leaving. Okay.
Petros Papadakis is
here. He is the co-host of the Petros Buddy Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio, weekday afternoons at AM 570. Unfortunately, Lisa, listen up. The Bachelorette Report.
I'm going to bachelorette you. Are you ready for the journey to begin?
With P and Ralph Garman right after this on K-Rock. You're going to regret listening to this show when you realize what's about to happen. It's time for the Bachelorette Report.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papadakis, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching the Bachelorette. Woo! How
watch that TV show. It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Now, what an episode. What an episode last week.
Oh, really good one. Good one.
Refresh my memory again, guys. Why
you're
going to
regret
this?
That this is in an hour, Bean.
Oh,
back
this should
up.
Be its own show.
Man. We should do that.
We should.
What do you think, man?
I think we could
call a lawyer, write up the contract. Let's do it, man.
I said it's a podcast is what I said.
We got
so
a half season to go. We're in great shape. What episode.
Tell me about last night.
Oh,
Munich.
Desiree and the men.
Setzen Sie dort hin und bleiben Sie still.
Munich, Germany, where they drink beer and they wear lederhosen, and it was game on. These guys are getting serious now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's getting real emotional.
Except for Bryden. Bryden, the Iraq war vet. He couldn't hang.
Now, I'm kidding about this. I want to preface that.
All right. Take it with a grain of salt.
Pretty hot in Iraq.
Yes.
That guy made it through.
Yes, he did.
Couple tours.
Yep.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Too hot on The Bachelorette, though.
Couldn't handle it.
Couldn't take the heat in the kitchen.
Couldn't take the stress and strain.
Couldn't take it. And he had to interrupt those poor people. She's on a date with this dude named Chris.
Yeah.
A mild-mannered, I think, Northwestern type.
Yeah.
Not the Kim and Kanye baby, but, you know, actually the area.
Right, yeah.
And he's, like, from Seattle. And he was on a date. And they tried to play it up like those guys were going to get in a fight. Like,
right.
in the episode preview from this week, there was like, hey, what you doing, bro? And they were, like, up in each other's face.
Yep.
But that wasn't what it was.
No.
Because Bryden just walked up on Chris in the middle of the date, was like, hey, bro, I need to talk to her. Is
can I
that
talk
okay?
to Des for a second?
Yeah, bro, that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
And it was like, they're all broed out.
Yeah, I know.
And I wasn't into that. But then Bryden just bounced out. He couldn't take. And that happens every single year, Bean. The first date people, like, fall in love on the first date.
Right.
And then she starts falling in love with all kind of other dudes.
And you can't handle it.
And that guy just
can't handle it.
You know, he
competition.
His connection is,
that's my
is
girl.
Dying.
That's
yeah.
my girl.
It's dying on the vine.
That's right.
That fruit
right.
has not been picked.
True or false that there was some yodeling on last night's Bachelorette?
Oh, yeah, there was yodeling.
Yeah, on the group date.
Group date, they all went up to the top of one of these Alps there in Germany.
In an igloo or something.
They went to a big ice mansion, and they had cocktails, and then they went...
Served by Inuits.
They were no Inuits. And they went down the hill on these sleds, these snow sleds.
Yodeling, 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 yodeling.
It was yodeling. Yeah.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was nice, but it really got hot later. I mean,
The important part was the two-on-one date. Michael and Ben.
Do you know how a two-on-one date works, Ben?
No.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Ralph and I are going out with Lisa.
Right.
Okay.
And only one of us is going home. Right?
Yeah. One man gets the rose. The other one goes home immediately.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So she is either going to choose at the end of the day. So we're all like vying for each other's on a three-on-one. So somebody's a third wheel.
Right.
But you don't know who it is until the end of the night. And she gives one dude a rose. And that dude stays, and the other dude just takes his big-ass suitcase.
You're out.
And he's out.
Flies home.
So can you just tell on that date who it's going to be?
No, it was a coin flip.
You really can't tell?
No, this one was hardcore because it was like a gladiator battle between an effeminate federal prosecutor and some phony bar owner from Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Wow,
and the producers were genius because these guys hate each other. So they put these two guys together on a date with her.
So were they busier fighting than
romancing
her? Oh, yeah.
It got so awkward. It was so good. But my favorite thing was before, the guys were like, I wonder why she'd choose us on a date together. I mean, it was an interesting choice by Desiree. It's like, you dumb ass. The producers did that because you two hate each other.
They're going to make sparks fly. And we got to see the hot tug last night. The hot tug was going on.
That's sounds...
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah, there was a hot tug.
Nice hot tug.
There was a hot tug going on.
You know
on
what I'm saying
night.
About it. Yeah.
I'm afraid I might.
Only like my tugs hot.
Hot tug.
What is that?
Hot tug. Steamy.
Hot tug is a floating hot tub that you can use to navigate around a freezing cold lake in Germany.
Really?
So it's like an infinity
that
pool that moves.
Great.
You're sitting in a hot tub drinking as you're tooling around this icy, frozen lake, but you're warm in the hot tub.
That's awesome.
It was awesome, but it got really awkward because this lawyer guy just butchered this bar owner.
Well,
the guy was too smart to be on The Bachelor in the first place. I know he's effeminate, but he's too smart to be on The Bachelor.
And Ben is a lying fraud. He would put himself out there, the bar owner. He's a single dad. He's like, oh, my son. He would talk about him all the time and everything, but he never even would call his son from the road. I mean, these guys figured this
son
guy
lives
out
in an orphanage, man.
Yeah. And so Michael's goal last night was to expose Ben for the fraud that he is in front of Desiree so she would give him the boot.
So basically, every guy on the show is trying to run down all the other guys as
no,
being unworthy.
No, a lot of the guys
so.
Get along.
No, it's a little fratty. All these guys like each other, and that's kind of what I was annoyed with, because all these guys are really into each other, and this Ben guy is an outsider,
because he's a
douche
and
a fraud. Yeah, but these guys are dorks, too. Yeah. And that guy's sitting there just like, oh, have you called your son? And they're on a date, you know? And he's like, oh, you haven't talked too much about your son. You heard a lot about your bar. Haven't heard much about your son. I get you talking about your son in front of Des. And this guy, Ben's getting all red.
Ben keeps saying, well, as a good Christian man, it's hard for me to respond to that kind of attitude.
Yeah, he didn't. He wasn't much of a good Christian man after he got the boot.
Here's what he says. They boot him, and he gets into the limo afterwards, and all he talks about is how the producers blew it because I would have been a great bachelor for the next season. If you had let me stick around, I would have been a great bachelor. You missed
ass.
It out. Me being a single dad from Texas? Come on. That was a slam dunk.
You guys missed out on the single dad from Texas.
Here's what he said in the limo afterwards.
Wow, God. Tonight was a shock to me. You guys better be really careful on who makes it in. You're not going to have a bachelor. You guys missed out. The single dad from Texas. Ha Hollywood. But I'm gonna have fun my last night in Munich. Where are we getting drunk? Let's have some fun tonight.
How long do I have to wait until I can be seen in public with somebody? Because I don't want to wait.
He asked the producers, how long do I have to wait before I can be seen in public with another woman? Because I don't want to wait.
You should be seen in public with your son, you bastard.
So he's not exactly broken up over the fact that Des sent him home.
His TV career is what's upsetting him.
He said, hi, Hollywood. He was waving to the camera.
Yeah, he kind of flipped his lid. If you let the camera roll long enough when you kick somebody off a reality show, they're going to act the fool.
You know what this guy is?
It's like Murphy's Law.
This guy is the employee who gets fired and wants to prove to his boss that they made a mistake, so he comes back the next day with a gun and shoots up the place just to show. You think I'm an unstable employee? I'll show you how wrong you are. That's what this guy is.
Yeah. Why did it have to become a shooting?
I don't know.
No,
I mean, we were just talking about love and romance and starting the journey with Des. Yeah. I mean, these guys are really falling in love. I mean, this is getting intense.
I'm saying clearly Mikey wasn't the right choice. He was the right choice to go home, and he proved that in the limo with that conversation.
First of all, that's Ben.
Mikey's the guy that got sent home later.
Come on,
whatever
Bean.
Their names are. All right, so how many guys are left, and how long do we have to keep having this
Where
segment
are we going
on the Kevin
next?
Show?
We're going to Barcelona, Pau Gasolville.
Barcelona, I forgot.
Pretty excited about Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Maybe they'll go over to Ibiza.
Barcelona, the one Spanish place that Petros can pronounce correctly.
And again, we care very deeply who this woman dates, right? That's the whole point of this.
I want to see her wrap those long legs around one of these guys in the ocean while a frogman cameraman shoots up their crotches. The Bachelor.
It's as if we're the only people in the world.
Yeah, except for the giant TV crew and the craft service table right around the corner from The Rock, you dumbasses. God,
ladies
I love
gentlemen,
this show.
This has been The Bachelorette Report.
It's real.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ here on a Tuesday morning. Ralph Garman joins us now. Ralph Garman just barely joins us now.
Well, because there's breaking news in the other room, and I'm furious about it, and there's going to be hell to pay.
What?
Uh-oh. I thought you were in the parking lot making sweet love to Petros Papadakis. Have you guys got all worked up after the Bachelorette report?
No, I took care of that before we went on the air.
What's the problem?
There is a late breaking news. Apparently, there's a big hubbub in the city of Los Angeles that they're trying to, issuing cease and desist orders for my beloved Uber and other car services that pick you up here in Los Angeles.
I've read about this going on in other cities across the country, including mine. Is this because taxis claim that they have to operate under certain laws and these new services are coming along and they don't, right?
They're calling them high-end bandit cabs is what the taxi companies are calling them.
Right.
Because they don't have the licensing and they don't have to go jump through all the hoops that the taxi companies do.
Well, I mean, that's a legitimate conversation to have. Look, I love Uber and I love businesses like that. And I think it's great. But it does seem like there should be a level playing field for cab drivers, too.
But cabs smell.
There is that.
And cab drivers often have too many goddamn consonants in their names.
Okay, that's just racist.
That's just fact.
That's just racist, though.
I'm saying there's a lot of consonants. I'm not saying where they come from. I'm saying they have a lot of consonants in their names.
It doesn't matter who the driver is.
Yeah, well, hell it doesn't.
I think
need a freshly bathed person driving me.
Here we go.
Car.
It's on.
That doesn't
race war.
Smell like
race war's on, everybody.
Old
it's going down.
French
it's
fries.
It's going down.
And
come on.
Socks.
Race war.
That's what I need.
Now, for folks who don't know about Uber, you're missing out. But tell kids why you love it so much, Ralph. And Uber, this is not a commercial.
It isn't a commercial. Uber's an app. It's on your phone, and you say, okay, I need a Lyft. I'm loaded. I'm at the bar, and I can't drive, and I need a Lyft from here to home. Now, I can call a taxi, and I can get their dispatcher on the phone who doesn't like me already, who's cranky at me because he doesn't want to be bothered because I'm interrupting the reruns of Full House or whatever he's watching. And then I ask for a cab and say, well, I don't know, give me 15, 20 minutes. I don't know, we're kind of busy, and I don't like your neighborhood, where you're going. Or I can go to Uber, and I open my app, and I say, I need a car. And it says, oh, there's a car. There's a guy 4 minutes away from you. He'll be there right now. His name is Steve, and he'll be there in a minute. And 4 minutes later, Steve rolls up in a
town car or something.
A town car or an Escalade or something that smells good. And he's got water in the back there for me, and I hop in. And I've already programmed my credit card into the app. So he picks me up. He drops my drunk ass off wherever I'm going. And he just charges my credit card, including the tip. I don't even have to reach into my wallet. I just get out of the car. I just get out of the goddamn car, and boom, I'm there.
Where am I going? I really like that.
And, wow. I've done it in the luxury of a town car or the back of an SUV or something. It's magical. It's magic is what
but
it is.
But can you see why the taxi driver says, hey, we have to do all these licensing, and we have a dress code, and we have all these restrictions and inspections and everything else. You can't just come in here and say, oh, we're not a cab if you're really operating as a cab. You understand where they're coming from?
But it's like a limo. It's like a little tiny limo service that you're paying for. And it's just slightly more expensive than a cab ride, and you're getting.
So what's the late breaking news? What's happening today?
Well, apparently there was a bunch of cease and desist orders were issued from the city of Los Angeles, and I didn't chance to read it all the way through because I had to run in here and talk about
stupid black keys ended.
Northwest. But so they're asking them to stop. Now, from what I understand, this applies to Lyft, which is bogus with those pink mustaches. By the way, F them and their pink mustaches. And Sidecar, I think, is another app that has a similar concept. So there's three of them apparently operating in Los Angeles city limits, and somebody with the LA Department of effing BS issued letters saying, stop it.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this
That's
and
right.
do that.
It is. It's communism. They're keeping,
it is communism.
They're keeping the capitalist nature of the free market down, man. Now, I understand, as I was running into this room, Dave was telling me that there might be a loophole for Uber because they often use professionally licensed chauffeurs to operate their vehicles. And apparently that is a loophole where they can still operate with those people. But any of these apps that uses what they call casual drivers, which are people who are just getting paid an hourly wage just to drive cars, they may not be able to be in operation because they would be akin to, I guess, a gypsy cab or a bandit cab.
But that would cut down on the amount of drivers available.
That's
it?
What I'm saying. Like, you know, I like knowing there's one every all constantly around me every day. There's a guy circling me about 4 minutes away in an SUV. So I like that the security of knowing that. I can call right now. He can just come pick me up right outside the station.
I wonder if Uber drivers ever complain about that guy that called him that always smells when he gets in the cab because he's so drunk.
That yes. But you know what? I pay them to shut the F up and just kick my ass out when you get to my house. So anyway, I love Uber, and I'm very upset that Uber may be going away. So that's why I'm flustered. So forgive me.
It is a cool business idea that really seems to be taken on fast. I mean, people seem to really be enjoying it.
It really does. And so immediately it means it has to be stopped.
Don't be the 1%, man.
Right.
Be the 99.
Be the 99.
Peace.
Peace. That's how you do it. Hey, Lisa May, you'll like this. It's about Broadway.
Okay.
Would you go see a Tupac musical?
Potentially. I might.
The life and career of the late Tupac Shakur. It is being worked up in a production in New York City for 5 weeks, and after that, the producers hope to bring it to Broadway next season.
Could
starring
be
a hologram or a real-life person?
I don't know. I'm assuming it'd be a real-life person who would play the role of Tupac.
Muggs, you got to go for that.
It's called Holler If You Hear Me is the name of the production. And they're trying to get it up on the Great White Way.
Brothers and sisters, men and trees, I got really crappy taste when it comes to TV. I like Brothers and Sisters, not Dazed and Confused. With taste like this, I must be abused.
I know it's...
I hope Lisa gets a star.
I hope Lisa's on it. It is shocking that the Tupac... posthumous releases seem to finally be slowing down. Remember we were getting a new Tupac album like every year? It seems like it's been a minute now since we've got one.
Another production I'd like to see is this potential battle of the boy bands between The Wanted and One Direction.
Max McGinnis from The Wanted says that his band would like to go fist to fist with One Direction.
Now, didn't Lindsay date someone from The Wanted and Taylor Swift dated someone from One Direction? Okay, then I think we know who's tougher here.
Or that's the undercard. That's what we want. We want to get Lindsay and Taylor in the ring as an undercard fight before we break out The Wanted in One Direction.
That's an excellent point, Lisa.
And one round per band member for The One in One Direction, and then we just tally up the scores, and whoever wins, wins.
People don't know, unless you have, you know, young teenage girls in your home, how insanely popular these two bands are, One Direction and One. I mean, it would be the biggest pay-per-view in history if they did a boxing match between the members of those bands.
Yeah, this is meaningless in my house. However, if Yo Gabba Gabba were to box the Fresh Beat Band, then my household would pay attention, because those are the two hottest groups in my particular house right now. This guy Max says that he thinks it would be brilliant television, and he would have no problem getting in the ring for charity if they would use it as a charity fundraiser. And I agree. And I think the losers should be put to death.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's
but
a new wrinkle that I'm adding.
I do like the idea of celebrities settling all beefs in the ring.
Boy, it's entertaining, isn't it? Until they started running out of, like, reasonable celebrities. Initially, it was kind of fun. And then, like, every week, it was Joey Buttafuoco against somebody.
Right. Michael Lohan.
Yeah, that's when I started losing
Farrah
it.
Farrah Abramson.
Get her in the ring. Yeah. I'll put her in the ring with Screech. I don't care who she's fighting. I just want to see her get one of those implants popped.
Screech fought Danny Bonaducci, I think, did he?
No.
Who did Screech fight?
Danny would have killed him.
Danny would have literally killed him. Screech fought Horseshack.
Oh,
from Welcome Back, Kotter, Ron Palillo.
Who did Manu Bullfight?
Who promptly died after that fight.
Manu Bull fought the fridge or somebody.
Fridge, William the Fridge Perry.
Those were the best.
Yeah. And who fought
Brady?
Oh, that's right. Barry Williams? Did Barry Williams fight somebody?
Barry Williams fought. I don't know who he fought.
I don't know.
Maybe that
was Danny
Bonaducci.
Was it Bonaducci? I don't think so.
I mean, that would make sense that they would put the Partridges versus the Bradys.
He fights. I think Donny Osmond took on Danny Bonaducci at one point.
Okay.
We got to bring that show back. That's all there is to it.
Bang,
Celebrity
bang,
boxing.
Here we go.
Bang,
here's some scenes from the Screech Horseshack fight. That was an exciting one. Why is that happening today?
I don't know, but it's funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Busy Phillips is 34 years old today.
Why didn't Busy call him? We were talking about people with honked up names, by the way.
Good point. Linda Cardellini, her co-star from Freaks and Geeks, and then she went on to ER and Mad Men this season. She's 38 years old. Mike Kroger of Nickelback is 41. He's the bass player for that band. Angela Kinsey from The Office turns 42. Ricky Gervais, speaking of The Office, he created the thing in the UK and went on to Extras and Life's Too Short. Very funny on the internet as well. He's got David Brent returning on the internet with his guitar lesson series on YouTube. Very funny. 52 years old. Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Good Times.
From Good Times is 66 years old. And George Michael.
Should have known better to cheat a friend.
Hi, everybody.
Waste the chance that I could feel good.
That's right.
So I'm never going to dance again the way I danced with you.
Everybody on the dance floor.
Let me tell you something about this song that'll blow your mind. George Michael wrote that song when he was 17 years old.
What?
How about that?
He burned too brightly too early.
Yeah,
because
I think so.
Now all he's doing is getting loaded and falling out of his car while he's driving down the interstate in the UK.
True.
Fell out of his car. That was his
driving.
Car accident. While driving, he fell out. He's like Arthur. He's like the modern day Arthur, Dudley Moore, just how loaded he gets now.
First off, I want to say you're very good at your craft work.
Yes, you are. Very good at your craft work, George Michael. He's 50 years old today. Amazingly, he has reached 50. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, more tickets for the K-Rock screening of The Lone Ranger with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. We got those for you on the program. Hootenanny tickets tomorrow. We're going to take your calls on bad sex surprises. Ralph, you did a story recently, speaking of The Lone Ranger, about Armie Hammer having a knife pulled on him in the sack, right?
Yeah, he said before he got married, he dated some Hollywood lunatics. And one girl said to him, you know, true love leaves scars. You don't have any scars on your body. And then while they were having sex, she pulled out a butcher knife and tried to stab him.
Whoa!
Dude.
Yeah, that's a bad surprise.
We'll take your calls on bad sex surprises tomorrow. Actor Elijah Wood joins us on the program tomorrow. And it's Wednesday. That means Adam Carolla of This Week in Rage. It's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.